could start to affect missions in the long run.
We could find out today if President Obama has enough support in the Senate to pass his jobs bill. Republicans are against the idea of a millionaire surtax. The president will push his plan during a visit to Pittsburgh today. Stocks will try to keep the momentum going after Monday's big gain. CNN's Karina Huber says the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ all posted solid gains Monday because of new hope for a solution to Europe's debt crisis.
The focus really was on Europe, and the news coming out of that region was pretty good. We heard from France and Germany over the weekend that they were committed to recapitalizing the banks and fighting the Eurozone debt crisis. So we saw really the financials take off, even though it was a broad-based rally with all 30 Dow components ending in positive territory.
Hurricane Hova could slam into Mexico's Pacific coast in a few hours. Forecaster Daniel Brown says it's a bit weaker this morning.
Hova is located about 150 miles southwest of Manzanillo, Mexico. Right now has maximum winds of 115 miles per hour, making it a Category 3 hurricane, and we expect it to approach the coast of Mexico later today or this evening.
The Rangers now lead the American League Championship Series 2-0 after a dramatic victory over the Tigers Monday. Nelson Cruz hit a walk-off grand slam in the 10th inning for a 7-3 win. Also, the Cardinals beat the Brewers to even up the National League Championship Series. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe. Talk about the Big Tire Event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the Big Tire Event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low-price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a Big Tire Event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Nerlman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
A tough reminder this morning that no part of our economy is immune from job losses. New York City Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli will issue a report today that forecasts 10,000 fewer jobs in the securities business by the end of next year. That, according to the Wall Street Journal, Goldman Sachs, Barclays, Credit Suisse, and Bank of America all have disclosed plans to cut Wall Street jobs, with more firms soon expected to do so. 3 years after the Lehman Brothers collapse touched off a wave of corporate bankruptcy filings, bankruptcies may be picking up again. There has been a recent acceleration, with restaurants, hair salons, renewable energy companies, and paper businesses claiming Chapter 11. Reuters reports we soon could see already struggling tourism, media, shipping, and real estate businesses going bankrupt as American Airlines tries to fight off Chapter 11 talk. Yesterday's monster rallies in Europe and the U.S. helped Asia. Japan's Nikkei up 2%. European markets are slipping, though, and S&P futures are down 7 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Someday I can be a marine biologist.
Or a park ranger.
Oh, a conservationist. I know! I want to drive a train.
Helping the planet, it's a value kids and CSX share. Up to 5 times more fuel efficient than trucks, CSX trains are the most environmentally friendly way to move goods on land. Learn more at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
With everyone working on the go, holding an impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. Not anymore. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you could host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join from a computer or iPad. And now they can join from the iPhone or any Android mobile device, too. Download the free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions or host your own meetings with a free 45-day trial by visiting GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use promo code 45.
I've been riding since I was 17, flat out my whole life, had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I'd have taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trigano.
Absolutely it was. Good Tuesday morning to all of you. And I do sound spry. I wasn't exactly a good boy. I didn't exactly go to bed on time, but I didn't exactly stay up late either. So I guess we'll split the difference. I certainly feel spry enough to get through the day. No question about that. And we've got a lot to do today. Man, oh, man, we've got a busy show. A little after 7 o'clock, labor leader, now retired, Harry Lester will be with us. He's written a book that puts the Waltons to shame. It's called The Boy from Bud, and it's about his childhood and growing up to early adulthood. Many of you in the labor movement will know Harry Lester as the president of the Steelworkers. Just an amazing guy. An amazing guy. And so I want to share with him with you, and we will. At 7:50, we'll talk to Michael Greger from Equality Michigan. They've got a fundraiser coming up, and if you want to support their causes, and I know you do, you'll want to pay attention and look forward to that. Chris Mihalakis, the legislative and political director from the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, will be with us, as he normally is, at 8 o'clock in studio. And we're going to talk a little Occupy Detroit today. We're also going to talk a little later on about Occupy Lansing. I will be emceeing that event at the state capitol on Saturday and want to invite all of you to come join me. But we'll get to some of the specifics of that as we work our way through the show today. And so why don't we just go ahead and get started?
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Oh, the first word today is faith, but I don't know if I used that one recently, so I'm jogging my memory, and I think I came close. But faith, whether it's having faith in my Detroit Tigers, or faith in the Detroit Lions, or faith in the political system, or faith in our families, faith in our religion, in our God, in our sense of purpose, but faith is important. Faith is critical. I think especially when we are mired in the middle of confusion and muck and trying to figure out do we jag left or do we jig right, faith is one of those things that if you don't have, you need, and when you do have it, you appreciate it. At least you should. Faith, folks, faith will guide us and normally does not let us down, but you've got to have it first before you can lean on it. So I ask you all today to keep in mind that it's important we have faith, and that is today's first word. Indeed, it is today's first word, and happy to be with you again. Just one of those days where you kind of go, ugh. So let's welcome to the program producer extraordinaire Jeff Radford. Good morning, Mr. Radford.
Well, good morning.
You seem awfully spry this morning, so I'm going to assume you got your nap in yesterday.
I did, and I stayed up to watch the entire game.
Which I did not. I did not do that. Although I should have, because I stayed up till 10, and then I went to bed, and I couldn't turn it off in my head. So I ended up tossing and turning, and I would have been better off had I just stayed up. And although I wouldn't, you know, I'm certainly, what time did the game get over, about midnight?
Yep, right around, well, 10 till.
All right, and I was certainly asleep by then, but, you know, I get up at 2:45, so I probably didn't fall asleep till after 11 o'clock, and I'm not feeling it too bad. But what did, you know, it emotionally, it's a difficult, was a difficult evening because, you know, the Tigers lost, and they lost in a big way, and they lost a game that I think they should have won a couple different times throughout the ball game. And when your offense doesn't show up, and ours has not shown up in this series, it doesn't portend good things for this ball club.
Yeah, that's disappointing. But, you know, they're on the road. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of I don't know. I shouldn't say respect for the Texas Rangers pitchers, but I don't get how they've been doing so well.
The bullpen. I mean, they've
the bullpen is good. They pulled Holland early yesterday, and that's too bad. But you know, the Tigers do that all the time, all season long. They'll get, you know, a couple early runs and get a lead, and then the offense just disappears for six innings, and it's like, what? Why? You know, I just don't.
Huh.
I don't know. And then, you know, the biggest question from last night, first of all, Don Kelly needs to play more just because he's hot right now and he plays good defense. But the biggest question mark is, like, when he hit that double, why did they, first of all, why did Lamont try and hold up Santiago? And second of all, it's been the theme all year long. Like, just ignore Lamont and score.
Right. I was just going to say, isn't that basically what the unspoken, the unspoken word is just ignore Gene Lamont and do what you need to do.
That hurt them. They could have just ended it right there and moved on.
Well, again, they could have won, should have won this game a couple times. The heart of our batting order has been silent. The pitching's not been bad. I mean, forget about the bullpen for a moment. Our starting pitching has not been bad. And so I'm just profoundly disappointed. And so it was difficult. We come off that game, and then you go right into the Lions game. And so, you know, fortunately for him, he could turn it on and off like a switch. I couldn't. You know, he said, now as soon as I turned the channel, I was good. Not so easy for me.
Yeah, that was a little bitter pill to swallow. Though I was kind of hoping, while the Tiger game was on, like, just end the game. You know, and I guess I didn't want it to end that way, but, you know, at least don't make me have to switch back and forth.
Well, what I was switching back and forth on were the pregames. Both Channel 7 and ESPN had a pregame. And the ESPN one was far better than the local one. But the local Channel 7, they were treating this as if it were the freaking Super Bowl. I mean, they had, you know, elaborate sets, and they had all kinds of reporters on the street. And I'm thinking, this is a bit excessive for a Monday night football game.
Yeah, that's what the talk was. This is the most hyped during the first couple minutes of the game that people were tweeting that it's the loudest crowd, the most excited crowd that Detroit's ever seen, and that's including the Super Bowls and any other events that they've ever had at Ford Field, and people are just going nuts about how this is the greatest thing ever. Get me on Sunday Night Football, then I'll be excited. Monday Night Football is lost. It's just not
You know, not for nothing, and I don't mean to pick on you. Not everybody feels that way, and Monday Night is still a big deal to most people, and it's the only game on. You know, it's still an honor to be on Monday Night Football, just not as much for you. Okay, but and I don't mean that this isn't about slapping you down. It truly isn't. My thing was the local coverage. You know, listen, the fans should be. I mean, Jeff, come on. I'm 50 years old. Trust me. For them to be 5-0 is huge. I'm one of the happiest guys in the world over that. I understand why the fandomonium is crazy. I don't get the local coverage. You know, I just thought it was poorly produced, because I don't think we produce sports well locally, especially on ABC, our ABC affiliate, Channel 7, who doesn't carry a lot of live sports. So I think they're particularly bad at it. You know, the Fox crew, you know, does, you know, they do some, you know, sport. They do Tiger stuff and they do Lion stuff. Or they do more Lion stuff. But I'm just saying, they don't do a very good job of producing sports locally. And it was just schlocky, and it was bad, and it was poorly directed, and it was embarrassing. Fortunately, it was only seen locally, so who cares? So why am I going on about it, you ask? I don't know, because it's there. It was just bad. You obviously didn't watch any of it.
No.
Yeah, it was really bad. I mean, it was really bad. You know, they had the guy and they had the reporter on the street, and of course you got drunk fans everywhere, you know, making the reporter look stupid. They really did. I mean, there were fans that were just, you know, wasted before the game. Which there comes as no surprise to anybody that's ever been to a football game. Any football game for that matter, probably Little League football, but it was just poorly done. And then so I switched on over to ESPN to watch a little bit of their pregame. And so I saw the interview between Chris Carter and Kelvin Johnson. And then I watched John Gruden interview Matthew Stafford and Kelvin Johnson. Now, I've never watched John Gruden interview people before. And I don't know if you have, Jeff, but it's like a train. It's like watching a train wreck. He's a really bad interviewer. He needs to find a coaching job.
Man. Yeah, I saw it, and I think he tries to be a little, you know, like, hey, we're buds, we're friends,
right.
We've been in this league together, but you're just torching everyone this morning.
Yeah,
huh? Channel 7, John Gruden, who's next in your wrath of your path of wrath?
I wouldn't get in my way.
I'm done. I'm not going to open my mic anymore because I don't want to get torched today.
No, it was just you know, John Gruden's not a good interviewer. I'm just being honest.
It was a little awkward, but you know, I was more on those kind of things. I'm more interested in the answers, and as well, his questions weren't the greatest, and he's not the greatest. It was cool to see. You know, the relationship in Calvin and Matt and Stafford and how they would respond to questions. And, you know, it was almost like a nonverbal, okay, you answer first. All right, now, you know, I'm going to play off of what you say. I mean, you can tell that they get along in regular life, not just on the football
field. Yeah, that was clear, but it had nothing to do with Gruden's skill set. I can assure you that. It was just really, really bad. Anyway, we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back, talk a little bit about the game itself, which was pretty darn good. And then yesterday we had talked about being unemployed and the discrimination that goes with that. I got an email from a listener that was pretty damn profound. And so I want to share that with you because they were listening. There were people listening. And some people are having a hard time being unemployed emotionally, having a difficult time. And as always, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Thank you for punching in this early Tuesday morning. Tony Trupiano with you on 1310 WDTW. Let's take the break, and we'll be back.
They want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight. And I think that this race is wide open.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
And good Tuesday morning to you, Tony. Our total traffic update still looking pretty good out there. Not yet seeing the delays along I-94 for drivers trying to come in toward the 275 area. We have construction taking us down to just a couple of lanes with those barrels extending from about Hagerty toward Wayne Road. But looks like you can get through there at a pretty good pace so far.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Mostly sunny skies today. Our high near 75. Tonight, though, a chance of rain. A low near 56. Tomorrow, we could see a chance of showers and a high near 70. Right now, light fog near the airport and 54 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
For a limited time, you can add the OnStar FMV mirror to your car for only $199. It's like having a portable nav, a roadside assistance plan, Bluetooth, and a stolen vehicle system, plus automatic help in a crash. And it's compatible with most cars. Add OnStar FMV to your car at Best Buy for only $199 MSRP after instant rebate. Tax, installation, and OnStar subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and more retailers. Hurry, offer ends October 31st, 2011.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with GEICO along with their car. GEICO's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call GEICO or visit GEICO.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Well, so joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDT.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. So we wake up this morning to mixed emotions. The Tigers lost in a historic way, and the Lions win in a historic way. Certainly, Mr. Radford, they performed well. I didn't see about 5 minutes of the second half and all of the, and I'm sorry, I didn't see all of the second half and some of the first half. Anthony tells me that, Chicago's offense was on the field a great deal, which is why, the score was not a little more lopsided than it was. Apparently, Chicago just kept shooting themselves in the foot. I know that they had 9 false start penalties during the game, which is not a record, but it still is a lot. And at the end of the day, the score comes out the way we wanted. Javid Best looked great. Kelvin Johnson did well. Then Brandon Prettigrew looked good. I don't know, Jeff, is this team for real?
I saw that. That was the poll question. And I think you could have said that they were real before last night. I don't think last night did anything to sway, at least not me, one way or the other. I already thought that, you know, that they're a pretty good team. I will say this much. Watching the game last night, I now have a lot more confidence in the defense because there are more depth. There's more depth, especially on the defensive line, than maybe I had gave him credit for. Willie Young is incredible, incredibly fast. He can get around the edge. He's, you know, I thought for sure. I knew Vannevar Bosch is older, and I knew that Cliff Avril for sure is a true legit defensive end. But with Willie Young, and then you got Samuel Lee Hill as a defensive tackle, and you got Fairley played last night.
How do you do? How do you look?
I think, you know, for a first game, he wasn't going to make a huge impact, but he got his feet wet. So that's, you know, that's what you're expecting in the first game. But I think, you know, the defense is what shown last night. I mean, I know the big plays to Kelvin and Javid Best and all that. The defense, though, like you said, the Bears' offense was on the field a lot. Well, so was Jay Cutler's back. You know, Jay Cutler was on the field a lot as far as getting attacked, as far as getting hit. And they kept, you know, making a comment last night during the broadcast, oh, this Jay Cutler is so tough. What a tough guy. Well, the reason why he's so tough is because he keeps getting pounded by the defense. He wouldn't have to be so tough if he just, you know, sat back in the pocket and made an easy throw. But the Lions were getting so much pressure on him. I was impressed with the defense. I thought, okay, Going into this game, for the most part, you think the Lions' passing game is just is unbelievable, and even they made a comment about how hard it is for them to run. But the offense would carry this team, is what I thought going through this season. The defense is just as good.
Well, you know, again, from what I saw, there were a lot of penalties in the first half. I don't know if they carried that on to the second half. Both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, there's just the emotions were high. The crowd had, obviously, the energy of the crowd had really infected the defense. And so I got some of that. I thought some of those calls were a little bogus, but all things being equal, it is what it is. It was obvious to me in the first half that Jay Cutler was not going to have time to throw the ball. He just was not going to have time. And again, that must have obviously carried into the second half. But you're right that this defense is legitimate. And even though, you know, in the last two games when they fell behind as much as they did, you never felt like that it was out of control. And I want to equate it a little bit to U of M football right now. You know, U of M has been really good at adjusting at halftime. The Lions have been really good at adjusting at halftime. You know, even yesterday they were down at the half. I mean, they were certainly more comfortably down than they were the two previous weeks. But certainly going into halftime, you had to think, again, I wasn't watching at that point, but you had to think, okay, you know, they're only down by a couple points. You know, and this is certainly a game that you know is winnable at that point. It seems to me, again, based on what I read and what I was able to see through the highlights, that there was no way the Lions ever looked like they didn't have control of this game. Is that true?
Well, it felt like you said, at halftime the Bears were winning, but it felt like the Bears had to give it their all just to get to that point. And you knew that it wasn't going to sustain in the second half. So.
Now, is this a decent Bears team that played poorly, or is it a poor Bears team that played poorly?
Right now, it's a team that's just not on the same page, or... I think they're better than what they showed, but I mean they've played really tough teams to start the season. I mean their schedule is just packed, and I don't think you can look at it at the beginning of the year and say, okay, the first four games are really tough, but then they take on the Lions. No, this year the Lions are one of the top teams as well. So the Bears have played five incredibly tough games to start their season. I think the second time around, once they start getting a little few easier games and get into the season, they'll be tougher the second time around.
Okay, well, we'll find that
especially out. Especially in Chicago. Well, you know, that'll make a difference as well.
Well, we'll find that out soon enough. It'll be interesting. The next 3 weeks are, again, very winnable games for the Detroit Lions. They play San Francisco on Sunday, but that's by no measure is that going to be an easy game. The San Francisco is enjoying its own resurgence right now.
Oh, that's a tougher game than this Bears game will be. That game is circled. It is at home, though, so that's good, but... They just destroyed the Buccaneers, and they've looked really good since Harbaugh's taken over. I think they're, you know, like they said, you always hear that phrase where some teams take on the personality or the persona of the coach.
Sure.
That's dangerous then, because Harbaugh is a fierce competitor, and if he's gotten them to believe in him this early, Alex Smith has been really good before in the past, and he's had a couple of down years. He's looking good again. And I mean, you go up and down their roster, they've got good players. They've just been disappointing until now Harbaugh has taken over.
Well, that also would hold true for the Detroit Lions. If they're taking on the persona of their coach, who better than Jim Schwartz, who has really proven to be the right guy. There's no question that he was the right guy at the right time.
And see, I agree with that, but I think it's more of, and I had this discussion over the weekend. It's the right group at the right time. You know, I mean, I think Mariucci is a good coach, but when he was here, he didn't have the support of the GM. He wanted, hey, get me this player, and this player because it fits my system. And Millen was like, no, you're getting this player, and this player. You know, now it's like the group is there. Mayhew is like, these are the players I know Jim Schwartz needs because we're on the same page. You know, I mean, when you have a GM and a coach that works so well together like that, I think that is where, that's where you get guys like Willie Young as a seventh-round pick or a late-round pick being, showing what he's got. And in the comments that Tirico and those guys were making last night, I think Jaworski said it. He's like, where are they finding all these guys? Well, you know, it's a GM and a coach that are on the same page and can identify talent and put them into the system flawlessly.
Well, The defense is awesome. There's no question, and I would venture to guess, if somebody isn't already doing it, there's a nickname coming for this defense. They're just ferocious. I mean, they were just nasty last night.
You don't like the Silver Crush?
That's old, though. They got to find something new.
Oh, they got a new one. It's based off of that, I think.
Well, do you know what it is?
I thought that was it, but if that was the old one, I can't remember what the new one is then.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it wasn't the Silver Crush. I don't know. But if it's out there, we're not hearing it enough for it to be a household name. But anyway, great football last night. Certainly the city of Detroit was excited, as they should be. Since 1956. 1956. I wasn't even alive then, Jeff. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, imagine. That's how long ago that was. 5-0. All right, well, heading into the next week, let's see what they can do. When we come back, the unemployed, are they being discriminated against? I think that's beyond question true. But how is it affecting them? I've got an email that I want to share with you that really runs the gamut. I think you're going to be really enlightened by what I have to share with you. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Drivers on the Southfield Freeway, M39. Isn't it great to have that reopened? You're going to find, though, we do have one lane blocked as you come southbound on M39, roughly about M10 down toward I-96. Two lanes, though, and everything's moving through there very well so far. Still a little early, though, in our morning rush.
Stop by McDonald's today and start collecting McCafe rewards points. Points are available on all medium and large hot McCafe and premium roast coffee cups. Collect 5 points and your sixth beverage is free. McCafe Rewards, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Mostly sunny skies today, our high near 75. Tonight, though, a chance of rain. A low near 56. Tomorrow, we could see a chance of showers and a high near 70. Right now, light fog near the airport and 54 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
As Ray Charles sang years ago, "Them that's got is them that gets, and I ain't got nothing yet." A majority of Americans are now seeing that them that's got are not only getting theirs, but also getting ours. The wealthiest 1% of Americans possess more net worth today than the bottom 90% of us combined. Worse, these privileged few and their political henchmen have structured a new economic normal of long-term joblessness, low wages, miserly public services, and a steadily widening chasm between the rich and the rest of us. This is the alienating reality that Occupy Wall Street has chosen to confront. This burgeoning movement began in September when about a dozen college students pitched camp in Liberty Plaza in the heart of New York's financial district and began daily peaceful marches down Wall Street. This is not your grandfather's tightly organized protest. It's intentionally loose. Instead of a leader, group decisions are reached through a consensus-based democratic process. With no faith in traditional politics or conventional media, the mostly young protesters have taken to the streets, using their well-honed culture of the web to organize, strategize, harmonize, and mobilize. Their encampment might look chaotic at first, but look again. It includes a medical clinic, media center, cafeteria, and library. Food? Their widely viewed website lets anyone in the world go online and have pizzas delivered to them from a local shop. They even produce their own newspaper, appropriately named the Occupied Wall Street Journal. This is Jim Hightower saying, the New York protest is growing, and the movement has now spread to more than 50 cities, from major hubs like Chicago to such smaller places as McAllen, Texas. All across the USA, something is happening here. Link into it at www.occupytogether.com.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310.
WDTW.
And thanks for punching in this morning, folks. It is a pleasure to be with you. Again, 888-552-3595. Let us go to the phones. I want to welcome my pal Jeff in Milford to a First Shift. Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning. First thing on the Lions, I think that they're finally getting it together because instead of a bunch of individuals, they're acting like a team.
Yeah, that matters. Solidarity, Jeff. Solidarity.
And whoever it was that finally got them motivated into that needs a raise. So, second of all, the unemployed have always been discriminated against. I mean, when you submit a resume or an application, they try to pick apart anything just to put that thing to the side. And then that way the human resources doesn't have to do their full job. I've seen it for a long time. And like I just said, if you can have the fully qualified person for a job, but if there's like a tittle or a wrong apostrophe on there, their resume gets thrown to the side. And then now they're trying to say that if you're not employed, they're not even going to look at you because they say that you've been off work too long.
Yeah, and that was the conversation that we ended up getting into yesterday, Jeff, was this idea that you need to be employed in order to be considered for employment. You know, not for nothing. And listen, I have no problem with somebody wanting to better themselves, but that, you know, that shouldn't give them an advantage just because they currently have a job and I don't. And that's the discrimination that really kind of came to light during the show yesterday. And they're actually, you know, part of the Jobs Act would make it illegal for you not to consider somebody based on the fact that they've been unemployed for more than 6 months.
Well, what are those headhunters looking for? I mean, you could go down to a day labor place and say, yeah, I worked for this day labor place. Now look at my resume.
Well, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. That's the part. Hey, first of all, I want to, before I let you go, I want to thank you for the ornamental hook. It's awesome. I'm going to hang it in my office. Did you get my package yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, come on. I sent it priority. You should have had it yesterday.
Well, yesterday was Columbus.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I'm sorry. You know, what am I thinking of? It was Columbus. Well, you'll get it today. You'll get it today. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by what's in there.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you.
We'll have to make another dinner time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much for your call, Jeff. I do appreciate it. So let me get to this email that I got. My friend Sandy Flippo, who listens to the show, is a secretary of the Community Democratic Club, which covers members from all over the place, including Canton, Northville, Livonia, and Plymouth. And this is just an amazing. It's long, but I think it's certainly worth walking through. So bear with me. It says, "I was interested in your piece on unemployment. I was recently unemployed for 2.5 years, a layoff. I grew to very much understand the discrimination of unemployed workers. During the time period, I developed my skills in resume writing and worked with many people, not only writing resumes, but also assisting them in identifying their skills and potential. I started a job support group at a church and was also a part of the development and growth of a large job support ministry that has helped so many in the Detroit area. I volunteered at many job fairs and do so on the spot and also do on the spot resume reviews as well as became a speaker for groups. As a result of this work, I developed many relationships, and even though I am working, I'm still called upon to update resumes of those I helped before. But the point of my email, people who are working do not understand what it is like to be unemployed until they have been there. Since the attention has been put on discrimination of the unemployed, it may not be happening so much right now, but employers did not hesitate to let you know that you would not be considered for a job if you were not working. They said that it would be difficult for an unemployed person who has been used to sleeping late doing what they want to transition into the workplace. They considered unemployment lazy, and they also thought the only reason they were not working was because they did not try hard enough. I even did an interview with a CNN reporter who was interested in how long it took me after I found a job to work at my full potential. Wow, that's really interesting. Those on the outside of the unemployed do not understand the dynamics of the family and your family who forget that you are not working after a while. I, as have so many unemployed, have done what I should have done, education and experience. I have a master's degree in business. I am professionally certified in my field of expertise. Age discrimination is real, and so is discrimination of the unemployed. I survived the situation and became a better person for it. I developed skills, networked, and friendships, but it is not so easy for other people. The worst part is talking to those who I have helped get a job only to be laid off again in 6 months, and they have to start over again. The discrimination, and until a person has lived through it, they truly do not understand. And then she just closes up with some nice words. Jeff, you know, we don't think about, I guess because we're fortunate enough to be working, and I'm, it's a blessing to be working. I get up every day and thank God I have a job. I truly do. The loneliness, the desolation. I got some other emails, but this one certainly capsulized a lot of different feelings. The loneliness, the desolation, the despair that unemployed people have is very real. And then you start thinking about, you know, and of course it gets very negative, and it kind of begats more negativity, because as you don't get responses to your resume, you know, you keep on putting information out there and putting information out there, and you're doing it ad nauseum and getting nothing back. I mean, no feedback at all. So, you know, and how many times have I talked to somebody that's unemployed who said, I would have been happy to receive a rejection letter just so I know that somebody actually got my resume and read it.
I know how that is. In fact, I applied to work at the Tigers, and I got a rejection letter. And that was the one rejection letter out of many resumes I sent out there. I saved it. I mean, I wouldn't save them all, but I mean, it was from the Tigers. But you put your, especially if you do it online and you fill out one of those forms, you know, you put your resume in and you just hit click send. You have no idea if it just goes into a giant database and anyone ever looks at it ever.
Right. And so that desolation is very real. And then, you know, like she said, she even had a CNN reporter say to her, how long did it take you once you went back to work to work to your full potential? I mean, that's insulting. You know, and then, of course, you've got there's the family aspect of that. After you're unemployed for a certain period of time, you know, your family has certain preconceived notions about you, quote unquote, not working. And so that adds to the dynamic that you're going through. And you know, so it's just at so many levels, this is so difficult for people that are unemployed. Now, Jeff, let's take it just one step further, because this is another reality. How about the people that are covering all the stuff I just said are no longer getting an unemployment check? Now, what about those folks? They have nothing coming in at all. They have no prospects. They have worked and reworked and reworked their resume until it looks nothing like it ever did before. You can't get a job. You can't find even something to help, you know, a part-time minimum wage. Nothing. And then to know that you're being discriminated against, how the hell are people surviving through that? That would be a very, very difficult situation to go through.
Well, and plus, I know people have this whole negative connotation out there, which I don't get a lot of them, especially the union stereotype of all the union bosses. They're just, you know, whatever. The negative about that, the negative about welfare, the negative about unemployment insurance, and yet you know, I've been there, and you go out with your friends, you don't feel like, you know, first of all, I didn't feel like going out with my friends, because, you know, then it was like I had to worry about money, like, am I going to spend this much or that much? Can I afford to get that or that? You know, because you got to really budget and make sure you save your money.
No, that's very real. There's no question.
Right.
That's very real.
And my friends, being friends that they are, much like, well, we won't get back into that discussion, but, you know, wanted to, you know, kind of help me out. So it's like, hey, let's go to dinner and I'll pay for you. And then that makes you even feel worse,
yeah,
because it's like, I don't want you thinking that
I don't want charity.
I don't want charity. And it's also, I don't want you thinking that to hang out with me, you've got to pay me to hang out with you kind of thing. And that's how it felt. And the more that goes on, it just perpetuates into a negative, like you said, a negative cycle that builds upon itself where suddenly you feel even more worthless. So the unemployment insurance, when you're getting that payment, you feel bad enough as it is because people already think, oh, you're just stealing from the system, you terrible person or whatever. But at least it's coming in the mail and it's kind of discretionary. And then all of a sudden that's gone. You just feel worse. You feel like, you're even more worthless than when you couldn't support yourself at all.
Right. Well, again, this is, let's try to find a psychologist, a social worker, a psychiatrist, somebody that has worked with the unemployed, maybe do a little therapy on the show. I'm serious. I think that the more that I received a response to this conversation yesterday, and again, I picked Sandy's email for the obvious reason, because it hit on so many different topics. I actually had people that sent me emails that just said, you have no idea how hard it is. That's all I'm going to say. You have no idea. And I actually do know how hard it is. But you know, people feel left out. Jeff, I mean, and again, this is just kind of goes back to what you were saying. And you don't want to feel like you're taking charity. And at the same time, you don't want to feel like you're trapped at home. I mean, it's a catch-22. And it's a never-ending cycle. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, Tony Trupiano with you. Give us a call. What do you think? What can we do to help those that are unemployed? I don't know that we can do anything unless we can help them find a job. Nothing, I believe, solves this problem like getting an actual job. And are there any out there? That's the real question. Let's take the break. We'll be back. This is 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I know this stimulus is unpopular. We had just done nothing and not spent any more money, as Representative Bachman is arguing. We would have had 16 or 17% unemployment in this country. I mean, we would have had a financial meltdown.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
The headline reads, Senator Stabenow responds to Chinese threat over bill to crack down on currency manipulation. Thank you for your leadership on this issue.
It really is enough is enough. We know we have a complicated relationship with China. We know that we borrow for them to pay our debt. But we're also their largest consumer market. They need us too. And we've not exercised our own strengths. to push back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiani on Twitter.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Tribbiani, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
And welcome back 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Again, the unemployed, the chronically unemployed, just what a difficult situation to be in. I did want to, and we're certainly taking calls on that, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Tribbiani. I did want to mention before we get out in this hour, and I'm going to be mentioning this a lot as we work our way through the week, but the Occupy Lansing event is coming up this Saturday. It's going to start at 10 a.m., so you need to be there by 10 a.m. on the Capitol lawn. Now, there's been some confusion, so let me clear up this confusion. There's a park nearby, and that may be where the group goes after they're done with the rally. But it will be on the Capitol steps, so that's all you need to know. It will be on the Capitol steps. At this point, they're expecting an excess of 1,800 people. That, of course, will grow as the week goes on. Now, we're going to have Chris Mihalakis on with us in the 8 o'clock hour. He attended the organizational meeting for the Occupy Detroit event, which is the 21st, which I will not be a part of because I'm going to be out of town that weekend. But we'll get some details from Chris on that particular event. But as it relates to this Saturday, October 15th, 10 a.m., there are going to be a handful of speakers, and we're encouraging people to attend. I know that there are people coming from all over Southeast Michigan, as many of you have reached out to me in the last day or so. Some of you, one group even is chartering a bus to come up there. You can go to multiple events. You don't have to go to just one. So if you can commit to going to more than one, that's great. If you can only go to one, that's great too. It's about participation. And, you know, I think that all of these are going to be, in a way, their own unique experience. I don't think that any two will be exactly the same. And so, it is a movement that's growing. There's no question that is true, even though the media still isn't covering it the way that I would expect them to, because this is major news. What's happening is major news. There are thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people that are now showing up at Occupy events as this is growing all over the country. And the media has still been quite quiet about this. And I don't quite understand why that is, because the Tea Party certainly were not ignored this way. Nancy Pelosi, by the way, Jeff, came out in favor of the Occupy movement and reminded the Republican leader, Eric Cantor, that when the Tea Party began their thing, he was bad-mouthing the Occupy movement. She reminded him that he didn't bad-mouth the Tea Party folks when they were assembling. And at one point, and I'd forgotten about this, some of the Tea Party gatherers had shown up in Washington, D.C., and they were actually spitting at members of Congress. Yeah, they actually did that. You don't see that happening with the Occupy people. And why are people assuming, this is the other part I don't get, why are they assuming that everybody that's showing up at these Occupy events are unemployed or are deadbeats? I don't understand how anybody can even make that assumption.
That's because that's who they parade in front of. You know, when the conservatives want to report on it, they'll find somebody who just makes the entire thing look outlandish and throw them in front of a camera and take a picture or do something like that, and then suddenly you have your poster boy for the entire movement. And that's what it seems like to me. Did you see, by the way, the link I threw on Twitter yesterday at the end of the show? Donate suits.
Yes.
And the fact is, with a suit, you don't even have to be. You could just throw a suit on and get past. Go to the bathroom if you need to at the Occupy Wall Street, because there was reports that people were banning the protesters from using their restrooms or whatever. Throw a suit on though, and you can get wherever you need to go. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, there is an. But it's a very serious effort, and so it's still there, folks. If you just scroll down a little bit, it's still on there. If you have a suit that you want to donate. Feel free to do it. It's just, again, the way that some of the media is portraying this, it's the least among us, it's the worst among us, and that just isn't true. You know, again, part of the challenge of being on our side of the aisle is that we're so accepting of lifestyles. You know, we're not focused on, you know, the how somebody's hair is designed or what kind of clothes they wear. So all kinds of people show up for this stuff. And instead of seeing that as a celebration of diversity, they go, look at all the oddballs. Look at the woman with the red hair. Look at all the nose rings, and which has nothing to do with somebody's intelligence level or what they're there for. But, you know, that's part of the challenge of being who we are, which is not a bad thing at all. 888-552-3595. Let us turn our attention to my friend Amir in Detroit. Amir, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, good morning, Tom. I was down at the Occupy Detroit yesterday, and I'm an employee auto worker, an engineer in the automobile industry. So they can take the face of that these are unemployed and worthless people out the mix. Because it's not. It's people like me, you, and others who care.
Absolutely. And that's the point I really wanted to get across.
And that's what people need to understand. This has nothing to do with now, if this would have happened in 2009, I'd have been down there. They could have said I was unemployed, but they couldn't have said I was worthless because I was taking five classes, catching three buses to get my degree. So they still couldn't say it, but they would try it. And the reason I don't get the coverage is because the Tea Party was taken over by the corporations and the media. And the media is controlled by a lot of those that are trying to manipulate and turn our country into the 1800s. They're all a part of it. So I don't put anything past the media. But the Channel 4 and 7 were down here yesterday.
Well, I mean, that's good. We are seeing, again, more participation, Amir. We're just not seeing enough of it. And listen, better late than never. I'll be the first one to admit that. But as I was saying, and Jeff just said, they always seem to find the oddest character, you know, to put on camera. And I don't understand what they think they're accomplishing by doing that. I just, you know, because it...
Well, their accomplishment is to discourage people, discourage those that are looking, because... If you listen to some talk shows, people are like, what are they about? They're unemployed. But then you figure Fox News is 98% of our market. That's all people are hearing, and that's what they're reporting. So those that want to know, bring yourself to one of the Occupy Wall Street events and find out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best thing to do is show up and find out. If you're uncomfortable, then walk away. If you're not, then stay, because there's plenty to do. The 99%, that's what we need to focus on, the 99%. That includes most of us, doesn't it? The answer to that question is yes. Okay, Harry Lester on the other side of this, Diane Cross with Traffic and Weather, CNN with Headline News. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Team 1410 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes an earlier accident to westbound 94 near Van Dyke. Looks like that's been trying to clear, slowing down the ride for those coming in from the east side out near the airport. A little heavier traffic, having to go a little slower along 94 as you're coming in. Roughly Hagerty, trying to make your way toward 275 Wayne Road area where the construction barrels are set up.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Mostly sunny skies today, our high near 75. Tonight, though, a chance of rain. A low near 56. Tomorrow, we could see a chance of showers and a high near 70. Right now, light fog near the airport and 54 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, a computer virus has infected the systems that control U.S. military drones. It has not stopped any drone flights yet, but Deputy Defense Secretary William Lynn says it could become a serious problem.
In the 21st century, bits and bytes can be as threatening as bullets and bombs.
Officials say they're not sure if this was a deliberate attack or if it was an accident. Opening statements are scheduled in Michigan today in the trial of the man known as the underwear bomber. The Nigerian man is accused of trying to blow up a device hidden in his underwear on a Christmas Day flight in 2009. The Occupy Wall Street protesters plan to leave Lower Manhattan today and march near the homes of some of the most wealthy people in New York. CNN Steve Kastenbaum reports from Zuccotti Park. The demonstrations are drawing a wide range of people.
I've seen young families with children in tow. I've seen folks close to the retirement age. And the one thing that seems to be binding them together, bringing them all out, is this sense of frustration that government does not have the people's best interests at heart anymore. And they want that to change. In a word, what they want is equity. And they also want to see ethics in government today. They say that that doesn't exist anymore.
It's not clear if President Obama has enough support in the Senate to get his jobs bill passed. There could be a key test vote later today. The NBA season might be in jeopardy. The first 2 weeks of regular season games are now canceled. Sports Illustrated writer Chris Mannix says players and owners are still far apart on a new labor agreement.
Right now, they seem content to not negotiate, not meet, and to sort of let this thing play out and see who blinks first.
NBA Commissioner David Stern says no new talks are scheduled. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe talking about the big tire event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the big tire event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low-price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a big tire event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Less ticker tape and more pink slips are in store for Wall Street. New York City Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli will issue a report today predicting 10,000 job losses in the securities business by the end of next year, so says the Wall Street Journal. Reflecting yesterday's U.S. stock rally, a 2% gain for Japan's Nikkei today, European markets are down. Right now, S&P futures are losing 7 points, NASDAQ futures down 10, Dow futures falling more than 50 points. Yesterday, we told you Facebook finally has released an app for Apple mobile devices, including the iPad. Now Facebook is working with another mega company in the top three of American business. It struck a deal with Walmart. The world's biggest retailer is rolling out more than 3,500 Facebook pages, one for each U.S. store. so people can interact directly with their local Walmarts, not just the big company. No coincidence that these pages roll out just as holiday shopping kicks into high gear. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Someday I can be a marine biologist.
Or a park ranger.
Oh, a conservationist.
I know! I want to drive a train.
Helping the planet, it's a value kids and CSX share. Up to 5 times more fuel efficient than trucks, CSX trains are the most environmentally friendly way to move goods on land. Learn more at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe talking about the Big Tire Event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the Big Tire Event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy 4 select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low-price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a Big Tire Event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
Were you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for punching in. Hour two of First Shift commences right now, and I've got a great hour lined up for you at 10 minutes to 8 o'clock. So in about 40 minutes or so, we will visit with Michael Gregory from Equality Michigan. They've got a fundraiser coming up, so you'll want to pay attention to that and stay tuned. That'll be coming up. We've got some open line time at the bottom of the hour, but I have a great guest for you in this first half hour. So all opining aside and all that other stuff, I want to get right to my guest. Anybody in the labor movement knows the name Harry Lester quite well. He, for years, was truly, when you thought of labor leader, was the labor leader, in Southeast Michigan and nationally for that matter. Harry Lester was born in Bud, West Virginia in the summer of 1929, months before the stock market crash causing the Great Depression. Harry came from a loving home with a father, mother, 2 brothers and a sister, and a colorful extended family that helped shape the man he would become. He rose in the ranks of the United Steelworkers of America to become the District 2 Director, helping to steer the International Union through health and safety reform, increased standard of living, and protected pension plans. In retirement, he has penned a book that is just out. No, it's not about the modern labor movement. No, it's not about class warfare. It's about, well, the title of the book, The Boy from Bud. It's about his from birth forward and to a young adulthood, and I'm just so pleased to have on the show this morning Harry Lester. Harry, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, Tony, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm really honored to be on your program.
What an exceptional book this is. Now, you know, I want to let people know that, you know, as I was reading this, I was thinking, you know, this is what the Waltons should have been. This was, you know, this is just a really great story about love and about family and about lessons from life and learning and growing up. Harry, it's about a lifestyle that people, you know, for the most part, just don't experience today. And so I want to thank you for taking the time and really kind of chronicling your life. Because it's a life that most people really, especially in modern times, can't begin to understand. I mean, it's a beautiful story.
Well, Tony, what I attempted to do, and I hope I did, was to try to actually depict the difference between now and then, or then and now. You know, when you look back at the 30s compared to what we're going through right now. And to let people know that you know this standard of living that we haven't always had it. That there was a lot of sacrifices made from an awful lot of people to make sure that we had the greatest standard of living in that the world's ever known. And that the sacrifices, in many cases, people went to jail, people went to the graveyard, people went to the hospital, and people went on to be leaders and great leaders in their unions and built this great standard of living that we enjoy.
Well, and there's no question, and that certainly is depicted in The Boy from Bud. Of course, that is referring to your hometown, which is Bud, West Virginia. And really, Harry, in so many ways, it did shape the man that you became. And, you know, of course, at some point, you know, you left for Detroit. You left your family behind. They were going to join you at some point. But the story from the beginning to that point in the book, which is really where the book ends, what's in there is fascinating because, you know, we think of the Great Depression. Everybody thinks that, you know, everything was bad, that families were constantly constantly at each other, that there was this lack of love, that it was nothing but gloom and doom. And of course, you don't paint that picture at all. You talk and you write eloquently about an entire generation, your grandfather, your father, your generation, your siblings, all of the wonderful stories, you know, from berry picking and you know, being afraid of snakes to everything in between. And this is a story, and in a lot of ways, Harry, I'd say this is a love story for the American people.
Well, I do too, Tony. I thought so, you know, so deeply about it. That's why I wrote the book, because I certainly wanted people to know that in the Great Depression, yeah, people were poor, but you could always find someone that was poorer than you. There was no such thing as safety nets. That didn't come until after the 1934. The safety nets started coming in, but between 1930 and 34. There was no safety nets, and things were bad. When I say safety nets, I'm talking about there was no such thing as workman's compensation. There was no such thing as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and even welfare of any kind, food stamps or anything. There wasn't any. And how did people live? Well, like the book depicts, and like the book says, people loved each other, family loved each other. They stayed together and worked together to actually make ends meet. And it brought the family together. The family was the strong point of the book, was the family. And the mother, her determination, you know, to see that her four kids, even after we lost my dad in 1940 in a coal mine accident, my mother just made sure that we were going to grow up and that we were going to be educated to the point of where, well, we wouldn't have to, we could pretty well work in the industry or in where we wanted to work and make a decent living.
I think it's fair to say, Harry, your mother was strict. I think that we can fairly describe her that way.
Oh, yes, you can.
But strict in the most loving of ways and at the same time forgiving. She, you know, she was an extraordinary woman, and I find it quite endearing that throughout the book, you refer to her as not mother, not mom, but mommy, which I think is a beautiful endearment and certainly a testimonial to a son's love for his mother.
Oh, yeah. It's no doubt, Tony, it was the pure love for her because she was such a great person that that really sacrificed for her children. Actually, she sacrificed her life. You know, she was 29 when my dad was killed, and she raised four kids. Four small kids.
Well, you know, and you tell a myriad of stories about your Father's Day in the coal mines, and you know it wasn't just one accident that had put him in harm's way. There had been others before the one that killed him, and it really was your mother's guiding influence that got the family through it. Although you write in one part of the book, the people that had worked in the mine had come to the family with boxes of food, and you wrote about seeing this delicious fruit, these oranges and these berries, and your father refused to take it, said he didn't want charity. And somebody reminds him, hey, listen, you know, you when we come around to collect for others, you know, you're the first one to put money in that pot. And he goes, he still wouldn't take that food.
Well, he was one of the very conservative person, and he felt going back a couple generations, you know, the Lesters, they fought in the Civil War on the side of the North, and they were what you call Lincoln Republicans. And so my dad felt, hey, you know, you got to work for what you get. My mother would try to explain to him, well, you know, Jesse, other people, these people are showing their love for you. And he said, no, he wouldn't take it. So my dad was very social minded. Mother was too, but my dad just didn't believe in any kind of welfare at all. He felt that was welfare, and my mother told him at some time and point, Jesse, you know, you're going to have to do that. He said, no, I won't. He said, I'll live forever. Well, we've heard that before, you know, growing up in the labor movement, you know, as a leader, as a leader in the labor movement, I had so many of the folks at the time, back in the 50s and 60s, tell me, Harry, we don't want pensions. We want our money now. And I would try to explain to them, you don't need it now. You'll need it later on when you retire. And I have these same people that tried to get me to give them money and not build a pension program are telling me now they thank the Lord that I didn't listen to them. So that goes back so similar to my dad. But my mom was pretty social-minded. She... anyone in the neighborhood needed help, we helped them. And we didn't have a lot ourselves, but we shared what we had with our neighbors. Because even with some of the safety nets we had wasn't enough to get some of these people by. They just couldn't make it.
Well, it certainly was a very different time, but I don't know that it was so different than what we're experiencing right now, Harry Lester. Certainly in the book, again, the book is titled The Boy from Bud, and by the way, is this available in bookstores or just at Amazon?
No, right now we'd like to get it available in bookstores, and I'm working on that to see if we can't get it available in bookstores. Right now, it's to order the book, you have to order it from Amazon.com.
Well, that's convenient enough for folks, so yeah. we'll get that up on our Facebook page as well, the link right to the book at Amazon.com, but it's entitled The Boy from Bud.
That's right.
And the point I want to make before we go to the break here, Harry, is that, you know, what we're going through today is not that much different if we take a step back and really look at it than what you were going through back in those days.
Well, you know, mentally, yes, you're right. Mentally, with people that people see, they don't realize this, Tony, that if you have money, then you don't realize that the people that don't have it. And that's the problem right now. We have people that are pretty well off. They don't realize that we've got some people that are actually on the street. We have people that's going hungry. A lot of kids going hungry like we did in the 30s.
All right, Harry, hold that thought. We got to get to the break here. Okay. The book is The Boy from Bud. My guest is Harry Lester, labor leader extraordinaire. Folks, if you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. We're going to take a real quick break here. More with Harry Lester on the other side of this. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some slow going on southbound I-75. That's no big surprise. Every morning as you're coming down from 14 Mile Road, heading down towards 696 and 8 Mile, we have the delays. Part of that, though, extra slow this morning from an earlier accident near 12 Mile. Moved off to the shoulder, but just adding to the slowdown. Also, some heavy traffic both directions of 696 as you're trying to get in toward the I-75 interchange.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see sun today, and our high will be 75 tonight, though a chance of rain, a low near 56 tomorrow, possible showers, and a high near 70. Right now, we're still dealing with fog in a number of areas, including at Metro Airport, where it's 54 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Bonus round time. If you can't teach an old dog new tricks, what can you teach him?
Conversational French?
Correct.
Ooh.
Gingerbread men are...
Gingerbread boys, all grown up.
Correct. True or false? Netflix lets you watch movies instantly through your game console or other devices.
Duh. True.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Hey, did I just win that new car over there?
No, I did.
Recently on First Shift.
Steve Cooper with the We Party Patriots. How important do you think social media is to organize labor today?
Incredibly important. I think you're seeing galvanized movements globally, and it's taking hold, obviously, in the States as well. The thing with social media is that it has to be a necessary component because you know that the next guy is doing it. And if he's not yet doing it, he's going to be doing it. So you want to make sure you beat him to that punch.
So that hashtag #OneU, when I put that at the end of a tweet, what does that do with regard to getting my message out to more people?
Well, the hashtags, they essentially act as a kind of filing cabinet within Twitter. You can now follow a sort of stream of union consciousness. And the key to that happening is everybody knowing where to gather, essentially where to meet and talk about this. We're trying to provide that sort of unique voice to get more and more people involved.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. My guest again, Harry Lester, labor leader, now retired, author of a brand new book entitled The Boy from Bud. It is available at Amazon.com, and we will have it up on our Facebook page momentarily. I really do want to recommend this. It is just it's a nostalgic read. It's a heartwarming read. It is about love and family and commitment. It is about the beginning of the labor movement. No question that that's an important part of it, and it helps really to understand what led Harry to where he eventually ended up. And Harry, I've got to tell you, as I was reading all of the wonderful stories in this book, you know, I didn't want it to end. They were just, you know, it takes us back to a time, and I'm only 50 years old, so I certainly don't remember, I wasn't around during those times, but, you know, it seems to me that, you know, there's that old saying, there's a future in history. You know, the better we understand what's happened in the past, the better we can deal with what's happening in the present and in the future. And I think in that way alone, there's real nuggets of gold in this book, The Boy from Bud.
Yes, I agree with you, Tony. It really is. You know, the old saying is, he who doesn't remember history is destined to relive it. And I agree with that. And what we was talking about just before the break was that the haves and the have-nots, the people that have it, they don't have any idea just what the have-nots are going through. They don't realize they haven't been there. And like I tell people, look, I've been there. I know what it's like, and I don't want to go back, and I don't want to see this generation or any generation go back to where the have-nots. Although we made it through the Depression by working together, and we had fun. That was in the book. He tells about the fun we had, the experiences, the great experiences we had. But, you know, back then, the old saying was at that time that I'd hear the coal miners around, sit around on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday around my grandpa's general merchandise store, and I'd hear the coal miners say, and I didn't really understand it at the time, that they said, you know, we live by the golden rule. And they'd come out and say, well, what is a golden rule? They said, well, the people has the gold rules. Huh. And that was pretty much so, you know, people had the gold rule and until the great unions come along. And when we had the unions to come in, and like my dad, he would always talk to my mother about, you know, the labor movement. And he said, once we get our union organized, said the things are going to change. The safety conditions and the plant, he said, and these coal mines are terrible. And they were killing a lot of people and, you know, injuring a lot of people at the time. And he said, the wages, they're going to get wages where we can enjoy some of the good things in life. And that's, I heard him talk about that many times with my mom before he organized his mine. And certainly things did get better for us financially. But as far as love and compassion, that remained the same. There's always love and compassion. And when I look back and see about my mother and dad, she was Italian, he was English. The Lesters come over in the Mayflower, and my grandpa Tita come from Perez, Italy, and they get married. She was 15, he was 17, and he was working in the coal mine. Started working in the coal mine when he was 14, and they get married, and it had to be true love. Everlasting love, because they went through some hard times, but they never did get discouraged, and there was never a talk of getting a divorce or separating or my mother going back home. There was never no talk about that, even through the hardest of times. So, you know, we see this today that it seems like the young people just give up and go back home or go some other way. Back then, you didn't see much of that.
Well, you know, it's been suggested, as we see, especially the Republicans seem to have this all-on assault on organized labor. They're creating laws that are weakening labor standards, things that have been fought out over the decades that are suddenly at risk. We see safety net programs like welfare and the food stamp program, you know, going away for people that now need it more than ever. And it was suggested that perhaps what we need to do is go back to those old times where we just took care of each other, where, you know, family took in family and neighbor took care of neighbor. And certainly, Harry, you know, we need to do more of that, but I don't know that that's the solution to the problem.
It isn't, Tony. It isn't the solution. You know, like I say, I've been there. I know that's not the solution, because even those people that would take in, it's three and four different families living in one house, and they had to sleep on shifts, you know. We don't need that kind of a society. The right wing conservative Republicans have been that way all my life. I know even during the Depression when President Roosevelt was establishing the social programs to help people, they were fighting it. They were trying to cut the programs, trying to beat the programs any way they can. They haven't changed. You know, they haven't changed. They've got worse in the last, I'd say the last, well, since Reagan. They've got worse of trying to do the unions in. And they've got the money to do it. But you know, they have the money, but we have the votes. And like you said a while ago, Tony, you get out, register, and get out and vote, and let your voice be heard, or otherwise you're going to be left standing on the street corner.
Well, there's no question that's true. Well, I just want to again impress upon people, the boy from Bud It can be about so many things for so many people. It can just be a wonderful, nostalgic walk back in time to remember a time during the Great Depression where we had little, but what little we did have, we shared. For other people, it can be about the beginning of organized labor and that movement that provided so many of us take for granted today. And I do want to stress that so much of what we do enjoy, especially our union brothers and sisters, Harry Lester, don't understand that struggle, don't appreciate the history of how we got to where we've got today, and they need to step up now and help protect that. I mean, that's the part of their legacy needs to be that they stood up and they fought against this.
Well, Tony, you know, I'm no spring chicken, as you well know. I'm 82 years old, so I went through those days of feeling the sting of the billy clubs and the brutality from some of the thugs that the company hired to do you in. I went through that. And the thing is, to organize a union and to establish a union, it took some brave people. It took brave people that was and determined that we were going to make some changes. Just like my dad. He took some real chances when he organized the mine workers there in Bud, West Virginia, because, boy, it's pretty tough. They hung a lot of those coal mine organizers, you know. And they didn't have anyone on their side. The only thing they had on their side was themselves. And I think that's what they're trying to take us back to right now.
Well, we've got to fight against
it,
Harry.
We have to fight it, Tony. You know, I watch the television, and I watch these programs showing the marches you got on Wall Street. And I say, well, boy, you know, that's history. That reminds me of something. That reminds me of the days I used to deliver the newspaper, and I'd see all these marches that they were having all over the country, you know, the sit-down strikes and the margins for equality. And it reminds me of some of the things
absolutely
that happened back then.
Harry, we're just out of time. I want to thank you for the last half hour. The book is wonderful. I hope that people will go out and buy it, and I hope that we can visit again sometime soon.
Well, I'd love to, too, Tony. Thank you very much for having me on, and I appreciate your program. You have a very great program. And
thank you, Harry. We've got to get to the break. The Boy from Bud, more on the other side. Stay with us.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning again, Tony. Our total traffic update, still seeing the heavy traffic on the Reuther, westbound 696, especially heading in towards 75, but eastbound seeing some of that as well as you come past Woodward, past I-75, and southbound 75, 14-mile road down to about 8 mile. We've got the delays. Remember, our relatively new construction project along 94 near 275 about Wayne Road to Hagerty. We're down to just a couple of lanes, and at times we see some slow going, especially for that eastbound traffic in the morning.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see sun today, and our high will be 75 tonight, though a chance of rain, a low near 56 tomorrow, possible showers, and a high near 70. Right now, we're still dealing with fog in a number of areas, including at Metro Airport, where it's 54 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The American standard of living is in decline as household income for working families continues to fall. According to the Census Bureau, inflation-adjusted median household income fell 9.8% from the start of the Bush Great Recession through June of 2011. The report on household income by Census Bureau officials Gordon W. Green Jr. and John F. Coder said this household income decline is a significant reduction in the American standard of living. So our economic system not only is failing to create nearly enough jobs for us, those of us who still have jobs are watching our income go down in what is supposed to be an economic recovery. Princeton economic professor Henry S. Farber also found that workers who found work again after losing their jobs made an average of 17.5% less in their new jobs. As the United Auto Workers Union worked Monday to reach a deal with Chrysler on a new four-year labor contract, UAW leaders called local bargaining units to a Detroit meeting. Chrysler is complaining that the GM and Ford deals are too rich, despite the fact that those deals increased labor costs by just 1% at GM and Ford. Both the UAW and Chrysler say they want to reach a negotiated deal and not go to arbitration. Arbitration must take into consideration the compensation for workers at foreign plants operating in the U.S. UAW total compensation is still higher than those plants. The contract for 23,000 UAW workers at Chrysler expired September 14th. Honeywell workers in Kansas City are on strike. Jesse Russell has more.
2 months ago, United Steelworkers ratified a 3-year contract agreement with Honeywell International's uranium processing facility in Metropolis. That agreement ended a 13-month-long lockout of workers at the plant. Honeywell is now facing a strike at a Kansas City plant, with workers putting down their tools on Sunday. The most recent contract offer was rejected by 79% of voting employees, and 85% voted to strike. The employees are represented by the International Association of Machinists, who issued a statement saying the company is negotiating in bad faith over a 3-year contract. The machinists plan to file unfair labor practice charges with the National Labor Relations Board. The union has declined to reveal the allegations due to the NLRB being closed Monday for a federal holiday.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by the National Education Association and by the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Thanks for punching back in with us. Harry Lester, just an amazing guy, as I did another incarnation of radio. Harry was often a guest on my show. Just an amazing human being who has written an exceptionally poignant book about a time that most of us don't remember, and for those that do, it will nostalgically take you back in the most precious of ways. I cannot impress upon you enough how keen I was on reading this book and really just extracting from it wonderful lessons, because they're everywhere in the simplest stories in the most profound ways. It was almost like he spoke the book as opposed to wrote the book. It is written with a spoken voice and really just well done. And again, this isn't one of those beat you over the head with it kind of lessons. It's about paying attention and what you glean from that. And everybody will take a little something different from this book. It's just one of those kinds of books where that will happen. Some will appreciate it just for the story, because it's a great story about love and perseverance. Some will appreciate it for its historical perspective, and others will find, you know, other things in it, the sense of family and love and commitment to one another, his extended family. He, at one point, tells a story about going on a fishing trip with a couple people that lived nearby. He was a young man, a child at the time, and they'd forgotten, basically, that they had taken him along, and he makes his way back from this fishing trip, which was quite a journey. And he meets all of these people along the way. It's almost written as a parable. It's truly amazing. So I can't recommend the book enough. The Boy from Bud is what it's entitled, and I just want to really warmly lead you to it. It's up on the Facebook page now, the First Shift Facebook page now. And while you're there, by the way, our Facebook First Shift poll question of the day: after a 5-0 start, do you believe the Lions are finally for real? Most people are ringing in. Yes is leading the way, but certainly feel free to answer that question any way you would like to answer it. But man, oh man, oh man, what a great book, The Boy from Bud. Harry Lester, certainly one of this country's labor treasures, and we were fortunate to have him here in Detroit. Anybody that ever dealt with Harry thinks highly of him, and I think that you can tell, Jeff, just by listening to him talk, why people think so fondly of him. And he is sorely missed in the labor movement, no question that's true.
Well, you can also tell just from how he talks that he would write good books. He's going to be a good storyteller.
Yeah, he's a real good storyteller. If you'd like, I can let you borrow it if you'd like to read it. I would want it back, though. It's one of those books.
I was
going to
say, you sound like you were holding, you know, like you, if you really, if you want, I guess I can loan it. I mean, you don't want to give up the book.
No, I'll loan it to you, but I'm not giving it to you.
No, I understand. I kind of want to read it now that you've been building it up.
It's really, I mean, it just takes you back to a time that most of us, I mean, I'm just kind of nostalgic for that time anyway. And there's just some really great stories, and he has such a colorful extended family, lots of aunts and uncles on both sides of the family, and you know he was considered, because he was half Italian, he was actually considered a half breed. There was some discrimination. He went through to some discrimination because his mother was Italian, his father very much American. Really, just wonderful lessons and wonderful stories, and it was just great.
Doesn't that seem so ridiculous to think about now, like a half-breed? I mean, not these days, you wouldn't even think about, okay, so what, unless it's, even still, I think it's ridiculous, no matter how you look at it. It's so silly to me to think, your mom's Italian and your dad's whatever. I mean, so silly.
But, you know, that gives me hope. And in the same way it gives me hope that, you know, maybe that we'll move beyond that. At the same time, I thought we would have by now, especially with regard to the color of one's skin. I would have thought we would have moved beyond. We haven't, not in the way that we need to. But to think that there was a time in this country that if you were Italian or Irish, you were, you know, as discriminated against as people of color are. It sounds ridiculous, but it certainly was very much a part of the fabric of America at one point. And not that many years ago. You know, you stop and think about it. It wasn't really that many years ago. But really just an incredible guy, an incredible book. I enjoyed it very, very much. And really do want to recommend it. Anyway, very quickly, Jeff, I don't know if you heard, but Hank Williams Jr., that whole controversy where ESPN dropped him from Monday Night Football, his Are You Ready for Some Football slogan song. He has now apparently written a song, an ode to Fox and Friends. Now, I think it's going to be released today, is my understanding from the Associated Press. But it's not such a nice song. He's not terribly happy with Fox and Friends.
Well, not just them, but I think it also rips Monday Night Football for taking him off of there. And it's so strange to hear. I just don't think of country music as, like, revenge music. You think of that as, hip-hop and stuff. You think of country music as revenge music?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's about wearing your heart on your sleeve and, you know, my boyfriend left me and my
sadness
daddy kicked me and whatever.
Tear in your beer kind of stuff, but not like, you know, I'm going to get you to this someday or, boy, these people are terrible and I'm going to sing a song about them. I don't think of that as country music to me.
Well, they didn't really tease any lyrics. I mean, and all I know is that it's supposed to come down pretty hard on Fox and Friends for sure, and I'm sure ESPN and Monday Night Football. But he will be, they'll be releasing it today, I guess, on iTunes is my understanding, but there was even some question as to whether or not that is true. Here's an interesting angle now. Do you go out and buy this song? I'm not saying you particularly, but do you think people go out and buy this song just out of curiosity?
I don't know that it's something. I would hope I don't know. I don't think it's something you buy. I think it's something he wants people to hear, so he's going to give it to you for free. Now,
you're going to have to buy it. Yeah, I think that he's seeing this as an opportunity to make some scratch, because he's also selling Hank Williams for President T-shirts.
No, I'd say I wouldn't buy that, obviously.
No, I'm just saying. And according to the article in the song, Williams says that the Fox and Friends host twisted his words. So Fox and Friends want to put me down, ask for my opinion, twist it all around. Well, two can play that gotcha game, you'll see. He also sings that the U.S. is going down the drain and is more like the United Socialist States of America. So it
sounds like a number one hit.
It's supposed to be released at some point today. And, you know, again, this will teach you for using, just don't use the word Hitler in anything.
Now, see, I had this discussion with some sports friends of mine. I think you can use Hitler to describe certain things, but not the way he described it. Like,
if you're describing, you know, World War II?
Oh, okay, what about this? What if you see a guy and you say, oh, he's got a Hitler mustache? Are you allowed to say that? Or do you have to say Charlie Chaplin mustache instead?
I think Charlie Chaplin mustache instead.
You don't think you can say, oh, that guy's got a Hitler mustache?
You can, but then people are going to make an inference right away. And what's that inference going to be? The guy is Hitler.
See, I think that's people jumping to conclusions.
Well, it may be, but that's the point. That's the whole point, is that people jump to conclusions. I don't really believe Hank Williams Jr. thought President Barack Obama was Adolf Hitler. I don't believe that he thought that for a minute. But the inference, enough is enough. That's the point.
You're talking about leaders of countries, though. I mean, Hitler led, you know, was a leader in the world at the time. So when you make connections that closely, obviously if I see a guy walking down the street, I have no idea, and he's not a leader of any country or leader of anything. I think you can say, hey, he's got a Hitler mustache. Like, what a silly Hitler mustache.
But it's not about him being a leader. It's what the name Hitler represents. It represents hate and all things awful. The name Hitler, it has nothing to do with leadership. It has nothing to do with being a president or the head of anything. When people think of Adolf Hitler, they do not think he was the president or the dictator of.
But he's a historical political figure. And then when you compare them to historical political figures, the connection is a little more closely, refined than if it was somebody walking down the street.
Yeah, but I think the majority of people, if you say, I'll keep it simple. Oh my God, he acts like he's Adolf Hitler. What would that say to you? If I were to say that about somebody, just answer the question. If I were to say that about somebody, what would you think I was in referencing?
No, that's not. I mean, that's a direct comparison. If he's acting like that, then yes. Then you're saying that he's Hitler. If he has a Hitler mustache, that doesn't mean he acts
I get that. I'm just saying that the inference is still there. People would understand what you mean by that. I get that, but I would avoid using the word. I would avoid using it because there's such a negative connotation to the word Hitler.
I agree with trying to avoid it. I just thought there's like
so that would be the only exception, Jeff. I mean, come on, seriously. What other ways could you use the word Hitler and that it would be acceptable? And I'm not even giving you that it's acceptable to say he had a Hitler mustache.
That's something that people associate with him, though. You see a guy wearing that kind of stupid little mustache.
That's not my question. You're not answering my question. What other reference to that word could you use that would be acceptable?
I don't know.
Zero.
Okay.
If that's the only reference, why bother using it? Use Charlie Chaplin mustache and you get away with it.
See, people will associate a short little mustache like that more so with Hitler than they do Charlie Chaplin.
So, I know you don't want to lose, so we'll let you think you won, but I'm right.
All right, and it's not about winning.
No,
I have an
it's
opinion.
Always
I'm
about
not
winning
cave.
With you. It's always about winning, Jeff.
I'm not allowed to have an opinion anymore.
See, you ever say that every time I actually win the argument, you say I'm not allowed to have an opinion.
I'm not even trying to win. I'm trying to explain my opinion.
Let's take a break. Michael Greger on the other side of this. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back.
So many of those who have made so much money recently produce very little wealth for others. They essentially pocket the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, the new president of the Michigan Education Association, Stephen Cook. Why don't the teachers just finally say, enough's enough, we're going to strike?
It's not off the table, but it's just not something that teachers want to do. They want to teach. They don't want to strike. I think they're, in many respects, asking the MEA on their behalf and with their assistance, certainly, to deal with some of these folks.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, Tony Trupiano with you. Michael Greger, if you're out there, I apparently wrote down the wrong number for you. So if you're listening, call us, 888-552-3595. In the meantime, let me talk about Equality Michigan's fundraiser, which is coming up on Saturday, October 22nd, and it is going to be an amazing evening. Now, I went to their dinner back in 2006. They weren't Equality Michigan back then, but they are now. And it was an amazing evening. Hank Winchester, who many people know is on WDIV Channel 4, will be the master of ceremonies for the evening. If I weren't going out of town that weekend, and you know, let me, because I keep on referencing that weekend, I want to let people know I'm actually going to a 30-year college anniversary of the founding fathers of the fraternity that I founded at Alma College. There are seven of us, six of us are actually going to be meeting there to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the fraternity, founding the fraternity. So that's where I'm going to be that weekend. But there's a lot of great stuff going on that weekend, including Equality Michigan's dinner. Now, they're going to be doing a lot of great stuff. So let me just walk through some of that, and I don't know what I did. I don't know how I got the number wrong, so I apologize for that. If you're out there listening, Michael, I apologize for that. But certainly, excuse me, we'll have Michael on to talk about this. But let me walk through it, what's going to happen. And, of course, to get tickets, all you have to do, in fact, if you do this for me, when you go to Facebook, just search for Equality Michigan and all the information's there. And if I'm not wrong, I think today's coming out day. So I could be wrong, though. Anyway, the State Equality Dinner will be on Saturday, October 22nd at the Henry in Dearborn, which is a beautiful facility. They're going to be giving away lots of recognition, including my great friend, Glenn Anderson, Senator Glenn Anderson, who is going to be receiving the James K. Drussell Political Courage Award. Senator Anderson's just a great guy. The Reverend Ed Rowe, pastor at the United Central Methodist Church, will be receiving the Ally in Faith Award. Alexandra Van Villay, president of Oakland University's Gay Straight Alliance, will be receiving the Henry Messer Youth Activist Award, and Henry Messer is a dear friend, a wonderful man, a former, a retired doctor, orthopedic surgeon, and a great advocate for the GLBT community. And Cleve Jones, the founder of the Names Project and the AIDS Memorial Quilt, will be receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award. And so if you go to, again, if you just go to Facebook and equalitymichigan.org, you can also go to their website. But the dinner's on the 22nd, and all of the information's there. So if you just go to the website, you can buy your tickets right there. You don't have to call anybody. You can do it all right online. I do want to recommend that you go to help celebrate and to support Equality Michigan and the LGBT community. It's going to be an amazing night. The food's going to be fabulous. The entertainment's going to be great. The crowd will be to die for. I'm telling you, I was there in 2006 and had a great time, and I'm going to plan on going next year for sure. In fact, they were nice enough to send both Jeff and I an invitation. And Jeff, I don't know, are you going to be able to go? Or are you going to be, do you have to work that day? What's going on?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. I just wondered, you know, I'd definitely be going if I weren't out of town. It's just a cool evening. I think you'd enjoy it. But I know you work on the weekends a lot, so that can be problematic for you.
Yeah, very rarely do I get day off on the weekends, so that might cut into it a little bit.
No, that's all right. Are you mad at me?
For what?
I can just tell by the sound of your voice.
I'm not,
you know what? Before I forget, I don't want to forget this. We're going to need a set of headphones for Chris in here. So I don't know how we got to do that. If you got an extra set in there, or if we're going to, Anthony's going to have to cough up his. But we are going to need an extra set of headphones in here. Do you remember I posted that picture of the Apple's tribute to Steve Jobs? It's the Apple that has the silhouette in it.
Yep.
You remember that? Somebody sent me an email yesterday. And I was just kind of blown away by, they were so moved by that. But, you know, it was really interesting because there's been a lot of, as you know, a lot of interesting reactions to Steve Jobs passing. And most of it has been quite overwhelmingly supportive, but some of it not so much. And there's a movement, you can go find it easily enough. I don't have necessarily, somebody actually started a website about this. But somebody started posting, and it kind of made the rounds, not yesterday, but the day before. It kind of made the rounds that, you know, all the Apple products are made in China, and how can we celebrate this guy? Can't we, Jeff, celebrate the guy from the company for just a minute? I mean, are they one and the same? Do you think it's fair that we lump them together?
I wouldn't know enough about the China thing. I know this much, though. The other day, I think it was Jerry Seinfeld was on, and he said he was a good friend of Steve Jobs, and he goes to a lot of... it was Tim Allen, actually. Tim Allen and Steve Jobs were really close, because Tim Allen's promoting his upcoming show tonight. And he said that he goes to a lot of the dorky tech things, you know, the computer
right.
things. And he said that every time he goes to one of those, people bring it up. 60% or more of all technology, computer-related, came from an idea that Steve Jobs came up with, which I thought is incredible.
What was the percentage?
60.
Seriously?
He said that most ideas, computer-based ideas, came from a Steve Jobs idea.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is we can separate Steve Jobs, the man, the innovator, the inventor, the brilliant man that he is, from the company that has their products built in China. And Jeff, just for a moment, what's made in America anymore electronically? Anything? I can't think of a thing. I have Chris in studio with me. Chris, do you know of any electronics that are made in America anymore?
Nothing.
I'm talking, you know, cell phones, stereos, TVs, anything. I can't think of anything. So, you know, is it really fair to put that on Steve Jobs? I don't think it is. And I think we can, don't, I mean, that's my point, Jeff, is can't we just separate the man from the company that makes products? Jeez.
Well, his ideas were made in America, that's for sure.
Hey, that's a good answer. Now I got to go find that website and post that. Because that's a good one. I don't think anybody's thought of that. His ideas were made in America. I think he's going to be sorely missed. So you and I were talking right before the show. Are you not going with an iPhone now, or are you going with an older version?
I don't know. Good question. I thought that, you know, they've been advertising the $200 price. So that's only if you're, you know, at the end of your contract and they need you to come back on. But if you're in the middle of your contract, then you're, you have to pay full price, which I was surprised and shocked to learn that it's almost $800. I was like, yeah, I don't know about
that. I thought you were almost at the end of your contract, though.
Apparently I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Talked to the to the phone company I'm with, and they said, oh, yeah, you can go. You can get a new phone anytime you want. But,
All right. Well, we've got to figure that out, because I know you're going to love the iPhone. We got to figure that out for you.
Plus, I need to get rid of this thing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're having BlackBerry issues big time, no question. It's just time for a new phone. You've used that one. All right, a quick break for the top of the hour. Diane Kress coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline sports. Chris Mihalakis as well. Stay with us. Lots to get to.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Reports from the national side of town along I-94 westbound, trying to come in heavier traffic towards 696. As you get past that, you're really running into the delays trying to exit at Maross or trying to head down toward Van Dyke and into downtown. 75 south, very slow from at least 14 down to about 8 mile. Also, drivers coming in at 96 eastbound toward 275 in the Reuther. We've got some slow going through that stretch.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see sun today, and our high will be 75 tonight, though a chance of rain, a low near 56 tomorrow, possible showers, and a high near 70. Right now, we're still dealing with fog in a number of areas, including at Metro Airport, where it's 54 degrees. I'm Diane Kross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift. Weekdays from 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
Before you knew this woman's worth, before you rock my poetry.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, the guy accused of trying to blow up a plane with a bomb hidden in his underwear is set to go on trial in Detroit today.
Before a man, Deborah Playrick said,
Omar Farouk Abdulhatt was arrested on a flight headed to the U.S.
Before we made our
Christmas Day 2009.
He was sentenced to 8 charges today.
That's right.
Charged maximum sentence of life in prison. The charges against him include attempted murder, attempted use of a weapon of mass destruction, the plane he was on, and also conspiracy to commit terrorism.
A computer virus has infected some of the U.S. military's fighter drones. It hasn't affected any flights so far, but Deputy Defense Secretary William Lynn says officials want to deal with it before it becomes dangerous.
There will eventually be a marriage of capability and intent, where those who mean us harm will gain the ability to launch damaging cyber attacks.
Military officials say they're more concerned than panicked by the virus. A critical vote on President Obama's plan to create jobs is scheduled in the Senate later today. CNN's Kate Baldwin reports Republicans are against something added by Senate Democrats.
This is the modified bill that was put out by Senate Democratic leaders, which includes that so-called millionaire surtax we've talked so much about to pay for the legislation, 5.6% surtax on annual income over $1 million.
The Occupy Wall Street protesters plan to leave Lower Manhattan and march past the homes of New York's super rich today. The Rangers beat the Tigers with a dramatic walk-off grand slam Monday to grab a 2-0 lead in the American League Championship Series. Texas manager Ron Washington knows his team faces a big challenge heading to Detroit.
We feel pretty good about ourselves, but we know we have to go into Detroit and we have to play. And that's the way it's going to be until you finally make it to where you want to get.
Also, the Cardinals tied up the NLCS with the Brewers. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How do you make car care simple? Put all the experts you need under one roof. That's how Midas works. Whether it's oil changes, brakes, alignments, or advanced engine diagnostics, the choice is simple.
drive all over town or head to Midas, where you'll find technicians trained on state-of-the-art equipment, all in one convenient location. How's that for making car care simple? Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Visit us at Midas.com.
An economic indicator, which was heading down for six consecutive months, is finally heading back up, but still no one's happy. The September Small Business Optimism Index shows higher expectations for sales and overall conditions, but the National Federation of Independent Business says its survey still finds optimism at recessionary levels. Quoting survey authors, it's just ugly. An ugly picture predicted for bankruptcies. Reuters reports the pace of corporate Chapter 11 filings has been ticking higher, with several companies in the tourism, media, shipping, and real estate fields teetering on the edge. And Wall Street is feeling the pain more these days. Wall Street Journal says New York City Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli will issue a report today forecasting 10,000 job cuts in the securities industry by the end of next year. Yesterday's rally stemming from hope for European debt intervention is failing to carry over. European markets are down. S&P, NASDAQ futures each losing 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Someday I can be a marine biologist.
Or a park ranger.
Oh, a conservationist.
I know. I want to drive a train.
Helping the planet. It's a value kids and CSX share. Up to 5 times more fuel efficient than trucks. CSX trains are the most environmentally friendly way to move goods on land. Learn more at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here's some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How do you make car care simple? Put all the experts you need under one roof. That's how Midas works. Whether it's oil changes, brakes, alignments, or advanced engine diagnostics, the choice is simple. Drive all over town or head to Midas, where you'll find technicians trained on state-of-the-art equipment, all in one convenient location. How's that for making car care simple? Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Visit us at Midas.com.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Tribbiano.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 ain't bad indeed. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Punching in for hour 3 of the First Shift radio program. We'll get to our guest here in just a moment. I want to remind you, we're going to have plenty of open line time as we are work our way through the rest of this morning, so you are more than welcome to join us either while we have our guest on or a little bit later on in the hour. The number, though, doesn't change. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, I'll remind you, tony@thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, @TonyTruppiano. That's @TonyTruppiano. Go ahead, give me my intro, guys.
Joining Tony in studio,
as he always does at this time,
the legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers of Michigan,
Chris Milakis.
Christos, welcome back, my good friend. Good to have you. I'm sorry. Let me turn your mic on. That'll make it easier for you.
Sounds good.
How are you?
I'm well. And, you know, I just wanted to let your listeners know I was listening on my drive up here, and I walked into Tony's studio, and the first things out of my mouth were Godwin's Law.
I don't know Godwin's Law.
It's, you know what?
Let me bring Jeff into the conversation, sure. though, because Jeff... Jeffrey,
yes.
I was going to say this is probably when you chose to eat your bagel, which I'm glad it wasn't. Now, Godwin's Law, you and I were debating this Hitler thing, right?
Yes, we were.
All right, so this actually has something to do with that. That's why I pulled you into the conversation. So let's hear what Chris has to say.
Well, so the way it works is it's a theory that every single argument on the internet, political argument, social argument, whatever, will inevitably end up with someone comparing something erroneously to Hitler or to Nazis. And so what the law states, that the moment you mention Hitler, Nazis, Nazi Germany, anything like that, the conversation must end.
So we shouldn't have even had the conversation?
Is well, just like Hank Williams Jr., you know, I mean, the guy made a career living off his daddy's name and, you know, said some of the most ridiculous things. I mean, just was said completely stupid comments. I mean, to compare John Boehner to Hitler and Obama to Netanyahu.
All right, so now we got it, Jeff. It's Godwin's Law. If it ever kind of reduces to that, we got to stop it right there.
Well, just like if a caller calls up and says, oh, you know, these Democrats, they're just like Hitler, I think you can just hang up with them right on the spot.
Right. Yeah. So that's the new rule, all right, Jeff?
No, I like that. And I'm reading about the rule right now, and I agree. It should be ended right there then.
Because the theory is that, you know, like, yeah, okay, Hank Williams Jr., are you really saying that the fact that you're going to have to go buy health insurance is really just as bad as genocide?
Yeah, like, and right. No, and that is a good point to make. But anyway, Godwin's Law it is, Jeff. Godwin's Law it is. We'll write that into our manual.
And the other thing I want to mention, too, Tony, it was awesome hearing Harry Lester interviewed on the way up here this morning. And I'm from downriver originally. And it's funny because my whole life, you know, growing up in the labor movement and growing up downriver, Harry Lester was always kind of a local hero.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know, at his retirement party, I didn't realize that he was a global hero. In fact, a lot of my friends come from a region of Greece. In the mainland, where supposedly Harry Lester was kind of seen as the broker of the American dream. You know, people would tell each other in the village, you're going to move to America, you're going to go to Detroit, you're going to stay with, you know, Uncle So-and-so, and Harry Lester from the steelworkers is going to get you a job. And he's just, he's a legend in this small little village in the middle of nowhere in Greece.
Well, you know, when we talk about labor leaders, he was the everyman. I mean, he'd been around, he understood, he was pre-labor movement,
right.
He was active labor movement, he was modern-day labor movement. Obviously, having just talked to him, he's, you know, still very engaged with what's going on, so we understand what's currently happening with the labor movement. The book is just a fascinating read. And it was actually Joe DeSano that told me that Harry had the book out. And I don't know what Joe's connection to Harry is, but everybody knows Harry Lester.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Everybody knows Harry Lester. So
absolutely, yeah. He's a great guy, and I'm honored to be following him.
Now, you know, and again, I love to tell the story, and I don't even know if Harry remembers this, but about 7 or 8 years ago, I wanted to broadcast live on Labor Day. And at that time, I was on in the afternoon from 2 to 6 o'clock. And I said to him, you know, I'd love to have you on. You know, can you give me maybe a half an hour of your time? I said, but there's a chance I'm not going to be doing it because I just don't know that I can fill 4 hours. It's a holiday. It's after the parade. You know, people are doing their thing. And he said, how many people can eat? So I told him however many I needed, whatever it was. Within an hour, he called me. All right, here's who you got, and this is what we're going to talk about. So, yeah, when you needed something done, you went to Harry Lester, no question.
Well, yeah,
about
it's
it.
Because if Harry Lester asked you to do a favor for him, you don't say no.
No, you didn't say no to Harry. I just loved having him. The boy from Bud Again's name of the book. We've got it up on Facebook. I really want to recommend people to go out. It's just a great read, Chris. It's like the Waltons, but of the labor movement. I don't know how to describe it. It's really well done.
Well, it's funny because you know, growing up in Southgate, most of my life, the local labor hall, the steelworkers hall, over on 4th Street, where for years was known as Kennedy Hall. And I don't think there was a single objection when they decided to rename it Harry Lester Hall.
No, there wasn't, I'm sure. Well, listen, very quickly, because I know that you're only with us at the bottom of the hour. You've got a meeting to get to at 9 o'clock. You attended last night the Occupy Detroit organizational meeting.
Right.
Which is different from a general assembly or a rally. I just want to make sure that we let people know it was an organizational meeting. So tell us what you learned.
Well, I believe it was the first People's Congress, or the first general assembly meeting.
First general assembly.
So it was pretty awesome. I mean, I was very words can't describe the energy that there was there last night. There was almost 1,000 people there. And when you consider
where was there,
we were at the Spirit of Hope Church on Martin Luther King. It's kind of where Martin Luther King, Trumbull, and Grand River all come together. And there were so many people we couldn't fit inside the church. So the Spirit of Hope has this beautiful playground and an urban garden where they do a little bit of urban farming and stuff there in a greenhouse. So we were out in the park because we couldn't fit inside the congregation. And what I was amazed at by this is, you know, I've been in the progressive movement all my adult life. And, you know, the people that were organizing the meeting, I'd never seen before. It was very grassroots. It was everyday people coming out. And the way the meeting was structured was very interesting. They went over the rules in the beginning. And what I found really interesting is they said, you know, there's going to be a time to vote up or down, yes or no. But as we're having these discussions, what we want to do more than anything else is build consensus. And so there was ways to vote, like so as we're having discussions, people would raise their hands and wave them or bend their arms over and wave them if they were
yes or no.
Yes or no. And if something was completely unacceptable, they would cross their arms. And so as people are speaking out, I mean, you have this big crowd of 1,000 people. How do you get everyone's opinion in, even if their opinion is a simple, yeah, I kind of like this, or oh, I'm kind of uneasy about that. And so, as our meeting was going on, people were expressing their opinions on things, and we were able to build a pretty awesome consensus on what we wanted and on how this movement is going to start in Detroit. You know, one thing that was interesting too is people, we all knew why we were there. You know, the modern economy, the post-Bush economy has left a generation and generations of workers, of middle-class working people behind. We're all frustrated. We're fed up. We can't take it anymore. And it's time for us to take to the streets. And so someone brought up the question, when people ask us, why are we doing this? What do we tell them? And a woman said, you know what? If someone says, why are we here? We are here because this is the first time the working and lower and upper middle classes, have united to come together for economic justice.
Economic justice. It's simply a matter of economic justice. And we had a guy call the show last week, Chris, as I was trying to wrap my head around this Occupy movement. I'm not going to claim, and I don't know that you can claim that you completely understand it yet. I don't know that any of us completely understand it, but I think that's the beauty of it. I don't think that this is about defining exactly what it is, but knowing that it is something that is significant, that may just move our political system forward. You know, even Jeff had played this great clip from David Letterman last mm-hmm. week on the show. And David Letterman said he had Brian Williams on, and he said, you know, since we can't seem to get anything done, maybe it's time we go back to the protests of the 60s.
Right.
You know, Brian Williams said, yeah, absolutely, but it's about all he said in the clip. But, you know, David Letterman makes the point, and David Letterman, of all people, making this point that it is about us, and it's about what we've talked about on this show from May 2nd on. This is about standing up. I always say it's not enough to show up anymore. Now you need, this is about standing up. This is about finally standing up.
Yeah, without a doubt, Tony. I mean, you know, this is about the 99%. That was a theme that kept coming up. And I like that they kept stressing throughout the meeting, this is a very broad movement. We're not going to, like, yeah, we'll have our list of demands, but this is not about a specific, it's not about stopping the war or you know, whatever, going after Manny Maroon. This is about the 99% being left behind at the expense of the 1%.
Right, and that 99% has to be bipartisan by definition. It can't be 99% and just be progressive.
Right.
It just can't be. All right, a quick break here, and we got more to talk to On the other side, Chris Mihalakis, my guest, the legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's take the break. We'll be back on First Shift right after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes delays on the Southfield Freeway, southbound near Joy Road, an earlier accident in the left lane. Still trying to get all that cleared and traffic back to posted speeds. As you head out on I-75 South, extra heavy and slow, of course, coming in from 14 down to about 7 Mile. Been pretty backed up on M53, trying to come into M59 area. Drivers on 96 East, very heavy and slow near Milford, part of that from an earlier disabled vehicle.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to have mostly sunny skies today, a high near 75. Tonight, though, there is a chance of rain, a low near 56. Tomorrow, possible showers and a high near 70. Right now, Metro Airport, we're still kind of foggy and 54 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
For a limited time, you can add the OnStar FMB mirror to your car for only $199. It's like having a portable nav, a roadside assistance plan, Bluetooth, and a stolen vehicle system, plus automatic help in a crash. And it's compatible with most cars. Add OnStar FMB to your car at Best Buy for only $199 MSRP after instant rebate. Tax, installation, and OnStar subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and more retailers. Hurry, offer ends October 31st, 2011.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Richard Bernstein, and I'm just so happy to have you back on the program today.
Tony, the pleasure is mine, and thank you so much for doing this show. Your voice and the work that you do is so desperately needed that it really is. It's just a privilege for me to be part of a show that's out there really spreading the voice, spreading the word the way that you are.
He's my publicist now, by the way, folks. Richard Bernstein is now my publicist. You know what?
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDT.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, and welcome back. Chris Mihalakis again, my guest. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. So you went to the Occupy Detroit meeting last night. And one of the things that, and we'll get to where it's going to be and all sure. that, what's going on. But one of the things I found interesting is the people that were quote unquote organizing it, because this is they keep on stressing this is a leaderless movement. Yeah. Still don't understand what that means.
Yeah, it's a movement where all the decisions are made, all the recommendations are made in committee, and all of the actions, all the final decisions are made in the People's Assembly.
All right. So the People's Assembly is different from the General Assembly. I need people to get used to the lingo here.
They're one and the same. I don't know.
Are they one and the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, General Assembly, People's Congress, it's all...
All right, now there's a little confusion about when it's starting. You tell me it started last night, and then actually, you know, Friday's the big day.
The occupation didn't start yet, but yesterday was the first People's General Assembly meeting in Congress.
Okay, now, and again, because this does get a little confusing, right? So I just want to walk through it, so I don't want to give people bad information. It's not the 21st, it's the 14th.
Right. The 14th, first of all, the 15th is National or World Occupy Day. So there's going to be occupation movements all over the world on 14th as a sign of global solidarity of the 99%. So we want to start our occupation just before that. And the consensus we came to last night, we had a few different locations in mind, and the consensus we all agreed upon was Grand Circus Park. So the occupation of Detroit's going to begin this Friday. It's going to be in Grand Circus Park. We're going to be a short march away from various financial buildings. We're going to be in the faces of the media and of the crowds going to all the Tiger playoff games, and hopefully we survive till next week and all the Lions games as people are finally excited to go to those again. And the other thing with Grand Circus Park, too, is you know, there's a lot of amenities nearby, you know, parking, water, electricity.
Restaurants.
Restaurants, yeah. All that sort of thing. And so we're going to start 4 o'clock. We're going to gather at the Spirit of Detroit statue.
Okay.
Downtown on Woodward and Jefferson. And then at 6, we're going to march from the Spirit of Detroit statue
to Grand Circus Park.
Where the occupation of Detroit will begin. And they went over a bunch of rules with everybody, the do's and the don'ts. The don'ts, obviously, are no violence, no drugs, no alcohol. None of that will be tolerated. And as far as what the do's are, bring tarps, tents, dress warm, bring provisions for yourself and for another person. And get ready for a long, cold winter.
All right. And so, you know, and again, because this is going to be different in different cities. And it's my understanding in Lansing, because I'm actually emceeing the Lansing one on Saturday.
Right.
The General Assembly is going to be at the state capitol, but the occupation's happening in a park a couple blocks away from the capitol.
I see.
Because it would be illegal. And this is the funny thing. Somebody says to me, well, you know, they send me an email. Well, so what if it's illegal? You know, do it. No, this is about civil disobedience,
right.
But it's civil,
right.
Number one. And you're not looking, you know, that's the other thing is people think that this is somehow a race to get arrested. No, this is not about getting arrested.
Right.
You know, this is about making a profound statement, and, you know, you don't want to be, you don't have to break the law to get your way is the point here.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how legal it is to camp overnight in any of these parks, but I think you're talking about civil infractions that probably
right. These
won't
aren't
be enforced.
Felonies, right?
Right.
And a lot of municipalities may, and I'm saying may, I'm not a lawyer and I can't testify to this. They may or may not turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
And of course, orderly is important. You talked about the do's and the don'ts. You've got to be orderly about this. Now, do they have, with regard to their opening event, do they have speakers planned? Or is it just let's come and see what happens?
I think it's pretty fast and loose, you know. Show up at 4, between 4 and 6. March out at 6, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, it's all very interesting. I find it fascinating that over 1,000 people showed up there yesterday. Now, I'm going to take a shot at it. That means a whole lot more than 1,000 people are going to show up on Friday.
Yeah, right now, according to Facebook, there's over 3,000 people planning to attend. And, you know, these Occupy movements across Michigan, I mean, they all popped up just last week. And I was looking at some stats here. There's already 3,400 people in the Occupy Detroit Facebook page, and that was as of Monday, so it could be a lot higher now. Over 5,000 people on Facebook have joined Occupy Michigan. Grand Rapids, in a matter of days, crept up to over 2,000. So, I mean, people all over the state are getting involved in this. I got a call from an old childhood friend of mine, Tony, who got back from Iraq and Afghanistan, did a tour in each country, and called me and said, you know, he's occupying St. Louis and he's helped take over a city park there. I saw on Facebook today, Occupy Pittsburgh is getting launched so this week. So all over the country and all over the world. There's these Occupy movements that are going to start taking place. And, it's interesting that this all kind of goes back to this weird, relationship between the working class of Madison and the working class of Cairo. It's pretty awesome to see.
So I got to ask you a question. You represent labor, organized labor, in your job and in your life. And the labor movement seems to be very much behind the Occupy movement, unlike the recall movement.
Right.
They see as something very different.
Oh, yeah. Labor is very supportive. What's really interesting about this is, before I went to the meeting last night, I kind of asked around what role should we play here? And everyone said the same thing. They said, we don't want to make this our thing and brand it as a labor thing because then it becomes exclusive. We don't want to, let the people that started this, let them go with it. And we'll be here backing them up, supporting them, supplying troops and supplies. And I think that's been the consensus of labor. And it's pretty awesome to see. Labor not only not just want to be involved in this, but to really let the community organizers that are leading the charge here really make this their baby, and for us to just sit back and be supportive in any way we can and however we're asked to be supportive.
Well, I find encouraging about that. You go back to what you had said, that there were the people that were kind of directing traffic at the meeting last night were people you had never seen before,
people.
That are. That may have never, for all you know, they've never even been politically active to this point.
Yeah. For all I know, that's the case. I mean, there was one or two familiar faces out of the 10 or 12 that were speaking. But, I mean, one guy even said, this is my first time ever giving a speech anywhere. The other thing that was really cool was the practice of the human microphone. Because our bullhorns weren't loud enough, anyone who was within an earshot of the speakers replied back further out.
Right.
So we had a human microphone projecting everyone's voices.
How'd that work?
There were some kinks at first, but after a while it worked really well.
When we come back, can you stay with us a little longer?
Yeah, just a couple minutes. Yeah.
When we come back, I want to find out what this means to you personally. This has nothing to do with your job and what it means to you personally. Chris Mihalakis with us. Let's take a quick break here. Tony Trupiano with you on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes the delays. We've got the normal one, 75 south into 696. The Reuther, both directions in towards 75. Southfield Freeway's been pretty slow for drivers trying to head down toward Joy Road. Part of that from an earlier accident that we've seen delays. Drivers through Macomb County, you're seeing very slow going along Mound Road. Also looks like M53 coming into 59.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to have mostly sunny skies today, a high near 75. Tonight, though, there is a chance of rain, a low near 56. Tomorrow, possible showers and a high near 70. Right now, Metro Airport, we're still kind of foggy and 54 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
As Ray Charles sang years ago, "Them that's got is them that gets, and I ain't got nothing yet." A majority of Americans are now seeing that them that's got are not only getting theirs, but also getting ours. The wealthiest 1% of Americans possess more net worth today than the bottom 90% of us combined. Worse, these privileged few and their political henchmen have structured a new economic normal of long-term joblessness, low wages, miserly public services, and a steadily widening chasm between the rich and the rest of us. This is the alienating reality that Occupy Wall Street has chosen to confront. This burgeoning movement began in September when about a dozen college students pitched camp in Liberty Plaza in the heart of New York's financial district and began daily peaceful marches down Wall Street. This is not your grandfather's tightly organized protest. It's intentionally loose. Instead of a leader, group decisions are reached through a consensus-based democratic process. With no faith in traditional politics or conventional media, the mostly young protesters have taken to the streets, using their well-honed culture of the web to organize, strategize, harmonize, and mobilize. Their encampment might look chaotic at first, but look again. It includes a medical clinic, media center, cafeteria, and library. Food? Their widely viewed website lets anyone in the world go online and have pizzas delivered to them from a local shop. They even produce their own newspaper, appropriately named the Occupied Wall Street Journal. This is Jim Hightower saying, the New York protest is growing, and the movement has now spread to more than 50 cities, from major hubs like Chicago to such smaller places as McAllen, Texas. All across the USA, something is happening here. Link into it at www.occupytogether.com. What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is John Austin, the president of the Michigan Board of Education.
Some on the right trying to use this moment of fiscal challenges with the need to figure out how we improve education to say, let's take advantage of that to dismantle unions and dismantle teachers' unions in particular because they view them as a political foe that needs to be countered versus potential partner in helping deliver the very education improvement and reform that we must deliver.
First Shift with Tony Trivio on 1310 WDT. Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after the hour. Chris has just a few more minutes for us. He will not be with us the whole segment, but he does have a few more minutes with us. And we were talking about the Occupy Detroit movement. Saturday at between 4 and 6, show up at the Spirit of Detroit downtown. There will be a march to Grand Circus Park where the occupation will begin. How long the occupation lasts, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. That is the interesting thing, is nobody really does know in this ends.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, what's great about this is starting Friday on through whenever, you know, if you got a few hours to spare, you know, I talked to my cousin who lives in New York yesterday, and you know, he was telling me he goes down, he'll spend a few hours every couple of days, just hanging out in the occupation and, you know, talking to some folks, getting some information, learning some things, and then goes about his day. And I think that's what we could see here, in Detroit. You know, we'll have some people occupying full time. We'll have homeless people joining the fight, and we'll have some people just passing through wanting to learn what it's all about.
Well, we're all people. I asked the question before the break, so let me get to that now, because I do know you need to get to a meeting, Chris. Why do you personally want to get involved in the Occupy Detroit movement or the Occupy movement in general? It just happens to be here in Detroit.
Well, you know, what I, like I brought up last week, Tony, I look at my generation of people. You know, I run into a bunch of people from high school, and we like to catch up and see where we've been. And we've been in a recession in Michigan since before I graduated college.
Yeah.
And our generation really is a lost generation. More has been asked of us. We've had to fight, two of the most bloody, stressful, longest wars in our nation's history. We've stepped up and we've done it. We've been asked to pay more for tuition and to take out record amounts of loans just to get a college education. And we stepped up and did it. We're the most educated and also the most debt-ridden generation in the history of our country. You know, our generation has stepped up, on so many levels. And now we're entering an economy where, you know, the GI Bill doesn't cover tuition anymore, where our debts get us degrees that don't land us jobs. We have no retirement security. I mean, that's a joke amongst amongst young workers these days. And, you know, now we're paying record amounts of money for our health care. You know, what happened to the social contract that our parents and grandparents had? You know, I listened to Harry Lester and all those things he fought for, and all those great benefits that he and his coworkers had, and I see that eroding. And so I think what this movement is all about is a lost generation, a generation that has sacrificed more and served this country more than many generations in the past, finally saying enough is enough. You know, we've become part of that 99%. And it's time to have a little bit of fairness in the economy, and it's time for us to get our fair share.
In a movement that doesn't seem to have, and again, maybe I this goes back to my naivete, but, you know, to a movement, I'm talking about the Occupy movement, that doesn't seem to have an end game. I mean, how does this end? You know, how does it end? Do you know the answer to that question?
No.
And that's the point. Is it about legislation? Is it about a social contract? Is it about all of those things? Is it about none of those things? You know, that's the part. And again, I'm obviously supportive of the movement, just for the same reasons that you just you just mentioned. But I continue to wonder how do we now get to how many more people it would take? How many more cities will it take? How much louder do we have to yell before our politics, because this is about sending a message to Washington, D.C. That's what this Occupy movement is about. What will it take to move the dial? That's the question.
And to Wall Street. I think, you know, I think the reason why the Occupy Wall Street movement really stepped up and what really, really frustrated a lot of people in the last few years, because, you know, the other thing about our generation is we turned out and voted in record numbers in 08, and we volunteered and worked on a presidential campaign in 08 more than, you know, any election in my lifetime anyways.
In anybody's lifetime.
Sure. Absolutely. And what do we find out? We hear a Wall Street banker say, you know, governments don't run the world. Goldman Sachs runs the world. And I think, you know, when that was uttered on the news a week and a half ago or so, I think, you know, a lot of people, it finally hit them. It's like, you know what? They're absolutely right. Goldman Sachs does run the world, and I don't get a vote in Goldman Sachs' board. So it's time to take some action and to be active.
Well, and it'll be interesting, Chris, to see how this all plays out, because, of course, there are people that say that President Obama is much a Wall Street guy as anybody else out there. And there's certainly evidence to lead us to believe that there's some truth to that. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know, we listen, this isn't about Democrat. It's not about Republican. It's about what American means.
Right.
And it doesn't mean what we have now. That I know for sure. I don't know that I have all the answers, but I know that I have the right one. And the right one is, this isn't the America we signed up for. And it's not the America our parents fought for.
Well, you know, I think about going back to what we were talking about, Harry Lester before, and to a lot of people in my home country in Greece, you know, what America meant to them was you move to a country where you work hard, you join a union, you play by the rules, you know, and through your blood, your sweat, your tears, you can make a good life, a good, comfortable life for you and your children. And, you know, I've experienced that. You know, my father came from Greece and worked in the auto plant, still works for General Motors, and put my sister through school, put me through school, my mom through grad school. I mean, I had a very comfortable life. And for future generations, I don't see our generation being able to provide that for our children and for our grandchildren. And because of this class warfare that the rich have engaged on the rest of us, that the 1% are fighting against the other 99%.
Yeah, well, it'll be fascinating to see how all of this plays out. Chris, I want to thank you for your time today. We'll look forward to having you on again with us next Tuesday. And although I won't see you Friday downtown, I'm sure that I will. Not this Friday, I'm sure I will see you at some point downtown. Thank you so much.
I'll give you an update next Tuesday.
All right, great. Thanks so much. Chris Mialakis again. He's got to get off to a meeting. But we do appreciate his time. Now, you know, yesterday, When Jeff and I were on the phone talking, I got an email from somebody, and the subject heading is "Why are Occupy 99% are wrong?" That's what the topic was. And the guy goes on to say why the Occupy people are wrong. So I'm just going to share with you what he had to say, which is not something I believe, but this is what he had to say. He said, according to people drawn to Wall Street to protest under the Occupy Wall Street movement, one reason for the protest is the $3 million bonuses paid to stockbrokers and investment traders. As you listen to those uninformed protesters, you hear the class envy and jealousy they have towards those who earn more than they do. According to The Economist on February 24, 2011, that's a publication, the average bonus payment in a good year is around $190,000 for a stockbroker. This is a lot of money to most Americans, but let's put this in context and then decide for yourselves. Number one, he says, these Wall Street investors are actually working for you and me. That's what it says. When they make a great investment decision and earn a big bonus, millions of Americans benefit. Many Americans, especially those in unions and government jobs, have a guaranteed pension. That pension money is invested in seeking to make good returns in order to have the money pay in the pensions as people retire. These investments are made on Wall Street, and that very broker who scored the big bonus may have been the one that earned your pension plan a great return. Would you rather the broker fail and your pension be at risk? Well, that's happened. Okay, that's happened. B, of all of us who invest in 401k or 403b plans or an IRA or who own life insurance also benefit from the success of that young and ambitious Wall Street broker making those $190,000 bonuses. When you open your quarterly statement from your investments, do you want to see a gain or a loss? That successful Wall Street broker who drives a Ferrari is probably the one who managed your mutual fund that is earning a 10 to 15% return. What the 99 crowd protesting class envy failed to realize that the successful Wall Street broker is actually helping millions of Americans by creating an investment return on pension and retirement plans. Perhaps we should thank them. Perhaps they deserve a bonus. I'm not buying any of this. The Occupy crowd is in the wrong city. Now you're going to find this real rich. They should be in Hollywood, where people like Tom Hanks, Jim Carrey, Julia Roberts, Nick Cage, etc., demand $20 million to make a movie. Talk about outrageous. The class envy should be directed towards the A-list in Hollywood and not the 1% who benefit when Tom Hanks gets paid $20 million for one movie. Talk about greed and self-preserving ambition. Occupy Hollywood. It's amazing how these people are so easily influenced and driven by class envy. What they forget is that this is America, and no one is stopping them from redirecting this Occupy energy to start a business and earn a living. Now, listen. Oh, my. Where do I even begin with this? First of all, you know, why stop at Hollywood? Why? What about every athlete? How about anybody that makes six, seven figures a year? No, we can't do that, right? Because some of those people might be stockbrokers. And by the way, there are stockbrokers that make $20 million a year or more. They're not protecting. They are being bonused for what reason? Not for being successful to me, to being successful for the company who's also taking a piece of that action. If you didn't hear what Chris had to say, and I'll get to this more on the other side, this is about basic health care. It's about buying groceries. We're not looking for $190,000 bonuses. We're looking for $300 a week so we can put groceries on the table. That's what we're looking for. 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you. We'll take the break and be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It's Congress that does the spending. The president is prohibited to do that. If he had the power to do that, he would be making the spending decisions. He would be making the taxing decisions. Clearly, that's unconstitutional.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Steve Cooper with the We Party Patriots. How important do you think social media is to organize labor today?
Incredibly important. I think you're seeing galvanized movements globally, and it's taken hold, obviously, in the States as well. The thing with social media is that it has to be a necessary component because you know that the next guy is doing it. And if he's not yet doing it, he's going to be doing it. So you want to make sure you beat him to that punch.
So that hashtag #OneU, when I put that at the end of a tweet, what does that do with regard to getting my message out to more people?
Well, the hashtags, they essentially act as a kind of filing cabinet within Twitter. You can now follow a sort of stream of union consciousness, and the key to that happening is everybody knowing where to gather, essentially where to meet and talk about this. We're trying to provide that sort of unique voice to get more and more people involved.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Again, feel free to join us. Interesting stuff, you know, and I get that, you know, it's the haves and have nots. The haves just happen to be but 1% of the country. And that number is derived by income. It's not derived by anything but that. So I find it odd that anybody, Jeff, you and I had this conversation yesterday, and, you know, we were talking about the 99%. And you asked me the question, why are people that are in the 99% defending the 1%? I don't have the answer to that question, and I know you don't either. I'm not suggesting you do. But I do find it interesting that they do defend them. I mean, it's just odd.
I think it's a lot like what we've been saying, is they eventually think that they're going to be in the 1%.
Yeah, you're right. I keep forgetting, and that's right. That's exactly what it is. You're right. You've said that lots of times. Absolutely. All right. Well, we're gonna move on. You had shared with me a story this morning that I thought was a little bit both interesting and weird. Scott Campbell is running for mayor in Harper Woods. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
And well, I didn't even know how to set this up.
It's a crazy story.
All right. Let's listen to the audio and then we'll come back and talk about it.
My name is Scott Campbell, and I'm running for mayor of Harper Woods.
Scott Campbell got a broken nose, cut face, and several cracked ribs. It happened September 25th in the yard of his Harper Woods home in a struggle with a neighbor. Campbell is running for mayor of Harper Woods.
His opening line was, "The city is going to hell." It was suggesting that the attack had nothing to do with anything other than my campaign. I really think there's some politics in this.
Campbell was ticketed for disorderly conduct and assault. A neighbor faces similar charges. Prior to the physical confrontation, another neighbor complained to Campbell about his lawn.
The woman next door had complained, I cut my grass slightly lower than she had her husband cut his grass.
Scott attends most city council meetings and often criticizes the city's operation. He says his candidacy has met with all kinds of opposition. Campbell's girlfriend and campaign manager says he was pressured to stay out of the race.
All of this is politically motivated to get Scott to run out of the race to by any means possible.
We emailed the incumbent mayor and another candidate for the office for comment. They did not immediately respond.
Ever since Scott filled out the petition and got the requisite signatures, it's been one thing after the other.
The candidate says he's staying in the race.
There is nothing they can possibly do to dissuade me.
In Harper Woods, Bill Gallagher, Fox 2 News.
All right, obviously Bill Gallagher, Fox 2 News. So, Jeff, what's the thing about the grass? I didn't quite get that.
That was another confrontation, another fight he had with a neighbor. She apparently just thinks he's cutting his grass too low, and it's showing her husband up. So she got into a fight with him about that.
Okay. That's what I thought that it said, and I just thought, no, that's not what it said, but that is what it said. All right, so Scott Campbell wants to be the mayor of Harper Woods, and apparently there are forces, dark forces, within the city of Harper Woods, which is, of course, infamously, Jeff, known for its political underpinnings. I say tongue firmly implanted in cheek. And so according to his girlfriend slash campaign manager, they're going to do anything they can to get him to get out of this race. Right?
They're staying in it. Yeah,
they're staying in it.
Oh, they're going to go and fight to the end. They're not going to be intimidated like this.
Well, I don't blame them. I mean, if this is indeed, well, first of all, he got the bejesus beat out of him. I got to ask, were any charges filed? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I know he was ticketed with disorderly conduct and assault, and it says the neighbor faces similar charges.
Okay. So they basically placed blame on both parties, is what it sounds like to you, too?
Yeah.
All right. So both parties are at blame. This was over the grass getting cut, right?
No, this is a different one.
Oh, this is a different one.
He's getting into fights. Neighbors are giving him a hard time ever since he decided to run for mayor. That's what the story basically is.
All right. So the neighbor beats him up because he's basically running for mayor.
Right.
Okay. Just want to make sure that I get this. Should we try to get him on the show?
Yeah, maybe. See what his side of the story is and how it's going.
I find this really fascinating, and maybe we should reach out to Joe DeSano, because Joe knows everything. But I'm just, you know, I find this quite curious. I don't know the makeup of the Harper Woods political structure. I don't know if they're, how cliquish. I mean, every municipality has their own little political clique. He's obviously not part of the clique. And he's unhappy with the way things are going, or he wouldn't be running for mayor against, I would guess, either the incumbent mayor or somebody else that's running.
Right. I was thinking we should maybe even see if we can talk to Kenneth Poynter, who is the incumbent.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's I guess there's your task for the day. How bizarre. I mean, this is just really bizarre stuff.
I never knew it was so heated there.
I didn't either. I'm finding this really interesting. I mean, I'm really finding this very interesting. Well, who knows? I mean, that just goes to show you what's happening. I mean, Harper Woods is all of, 20 minutes from my house, 30, 35 minutes from where we sit, and all kinds of political intrigue going on. All right, well, it's a very interesting story. Let me get to some announcements. I didn't get a chance to do it yesterday, so let me get to some announcements before we let you go today. And I want to remind you that... Come join the National Organization of Women for a free Love Your Body event, the media and body image on Wednesday, October 19th. There are free refreshments, a 50-50 raffle, and a prize raffle. The featured speaker will be Amanda Levitt of Love Your Body Detroit, followed by a screening and discussion of Killing Us Softly, an analysis of women in advertisement. It's at 6 p.m. is the social hour, 7 p.m. is the speaker. It's at the Birmingham Unitarian Church at 38651 Woodward in Bloomfield Hills. an RSVP, oaklandcountynow@gmail.com. That's oaklandcountynow@gmail.com or 248-561-4228. And then we also have the Community Democratic Club Spaghetti Dinner. That's their annual fundraiser on Friday, October 21st, with special guest, not exactly Rick Snyder, who will be interviewed by not exactly John Stewart. Should be great. I really am sorry I'm not going to be there for this. Again, it's the all-you-can-eat spaghetti dinner. For more information, comdemclub@yahoo.com, comdemclub, comdemclub@yahoo.com, or call 734-464-4226. And also want to let you know that the United Way has a fundraiser coming up for the Ray West Memorial Ramp Project, and we're going to be getting into more of that next week. But if you want more information on that, I'm going to have to get back with you because I didn't pluck out the information quickly enough. But it's a fundraiser coming up on the 27th of October from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. It's going to be at a local restaurant, but I'll get you more information on that tomorrow. In the meantime, I want to thank Anthony and Jeff for everything they do because they're the ones that really make this happen. And to all of you, of course, we appreciate you plugging in and punching in. I'm Tony Truppiano, off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our last look at traffic this morning. We are seeing the big slowdowns for those coming in 75 to 696, 94 getting near 696, then in pockets all the way down toward I-75. 96 east, that's been pretty backed up because of a problem near Milford Road and Southfield Freeway southbound near Joy Road. That earlier accident just about cleared.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to have mostly sunny skies today, a high near 75. Tonight, though, there is a chance of rain, a low near 56. Tomorrow, possible showers and a high near 70. Right now, Metro Airport, we're still kind of foggy and 54 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.